नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So today we'll start the 27th chapter of third canto. Prabhupada titles this chapter as Understanding Material Nature, and Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur titles this chapter as Kapila Describes Liberation through the practice of Jnana Yoga. Okay, so because the Sankhya, the basis of that Sankhya was described in the previous chapter, 26th chapter. So now, how does a Sankhya Yogi or a Jnana Yogi attain liberation by taking shelter of this Sankhya philosophy is described in this chapter. Okay, because this was one of the questions asked by Devahuti. Please speak about that yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, which is aimed towards the Supreme Lord to achieve liberation. And also speak about that Sankhya philosophy by which the elements are enumerated. And please describe what are the various limbs of that Sankhya philosophy. So in responding to that, we have seen how the elements are enumerated, how they are classified, what are their characteristics was described in the previous chapter. So in this chapter now, Kapila Dev is going to describe about how the practitioner of this philosophy, what is his sadhana and how he achieves liberation. Okay, that he is going to describe in detail. Okay? Yes. Sankhya. Sankhya or Jnana Yoga. Yeah. Ashtanga Yoga will be described in the next chapter. Okay? Anything else before we proceed further?
Hare Krishna. That example, in the example of samosa or some object, there is a one thing is more the form itself is there. So when we are correlating with the four antakaran, so we are like confused. So can you just explain that again?
See, the senses are there which gather the impulses, you know, eyes get, you know, capture the form. And the nose captures the smell. Okay. But the moment eyes looks at the form, for us in a second we conclude, oh, it's samosa. But then before that cognizance, that signal, what the eyes does is captures that signal and passes it on to this central processing unit. Okay, that central processing unit consists of these four things. Okay, first the chitta, then the intelligence, then the mind, and then the false ego. So as soon as you look at the samosa and become joyous, okay, wow, this is such a wonderful samosa that I like. While you are thinking like that, how did you come to know about it? Your nose smelled the fragrance and your eyes saw the form of samosa. and it passed it on to the central processing unit. So first it did not immediately conclude that it is samosa. First your chitta, when it came across those impulses, it first indicated there is something, there is some impulse, and then the intelligence gets awakened. Oh, what is that impulse? Oh, there is some form of samosa and there is some fragrance of samosa. So it is a fragrance and form of samosa. The intelligence discriminates. Then it awakens the mind. Oh, is it favorable or is it not favorable? Mind says, yeah, it's very favorable fragrance, favorable form. And it will give a lot of it will do a great favor to the tongue also. And then the false ego wakes up. Oh, what is that favorable form? And that is the favorable form and fragrance of samosa that I like. So the sense of I is brought forth by the false ego, like that.
Just to clear the Prabhuji, that identification of object, like the form of samosa, or if you are not able to see the samosa, only the getting the smell, that level, that occurs at the level of intelligence or mind?
Intelligence. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what is that impetus is discriminated, it's understood by the intelligence. Whether it is acceptable or not is decided by the mind. Mind accepts or rejects. It's so disgusting fragrance.
But acceptance and rejection is also part of our own, like I comes there?
Nay, favorable. See, favorable. What we say is, generally we don't separate the two. Okay? We say like, favorable or unfavorable means for whom? It's for me only, no? That's how we think. Because the functioning of this mind, false ego, intelligence and chitta is all for us. We don't see these four entities functioning separately. They are a cohesive unit. Therefore we don't see them functioning separately. That's why there is no delay in response when you get the impulse, because they act with such speed, but successively. So just for our understanding, to differentiate what is this chitta, what is this, like in a computer, there are so many circuits, which analyze the data and you get the final output on the screen. So many things are happening, in sequence, but then you don't see it. The same way inside also, these four entities, when they are acting together, it seems like, it's, I see the samosa and I say, oh, I like this samosa. But it's for you to reach that conclusion, these four have to function properly. And before that, the senses have to function. Like for example, I tell, Gaurang Darshan Prabhu, how is the garland? What I meant was, today's garland was made with such fragrant flowers. So fragrant. And Gaurang Darshan Prabhu looks at it and says, it's okay. Because for him, nose doesn't function. He can't smell. Unless it's like really pungent and attacking the nose, he cannot identify any smell. He can identify only form, and he can tell whether it is good or wrong, good or not good, and he will get into the intricate details about form. What about smell? He can't. So when I tell him, how is today's garland? By that I mean, today was all super fragrant flowers were used. How is it? He says, okay. He cannot identify it. So before that, the senses have to function and then pass on the information to the these four antakaranas, like that. Okay. You had something, bro? Yeah. Mind stores the impressions of your previous experience of suffering or enjoyment of that particular sense object. And then, you know, favorable or unfavorable, you know, that decision is made based on those. So in the meantime, those previous impressions are also accessed by the mind before it comes to the conclusion whether it is favorable or unfavorable. Okay. So you smell, and then the chitta, you know, gets triggers off, the intelligence identifies. In the meantime, the mind searches for the previous impressions of enjoyment or suffering of that particular sense object, and then it concludes, oh, it is a favorable smell. I have enjoyed it before. Like that. Is it like that? I don't know if it's like that, Prabhu. I'm not sure whether it is based on whether it is the outermost layer, that's why it's accessed the last, or I'm not sure about that. I don't know, I don't think it's related to the hierarchy also. It's not like that.
You spoke about intelligence, that it decides what kind of thing or smell it is. But it is said that intelligence also discriminates. It does not discriminate, but actually what object it is. Or does it discriminate that it is samosa? It is decided at the level of intelligence only. But samosa, the image of samosa is actually a past impression.
Yeah. So there is all. There might also be, you know, mind would pass the impression to the mind, stores those impressions, but it can pass it on to, if for cross referencing, if okay. Intelligence needs, it can access from the mind also the impressions.
Okay.
That's how it would discriminate, na?
Yes.
Even, you know, where is the knowledge base? For the intelligence to access. Intelligence, once it has experienced samosa, then it can discriminate that it is samosa. But if it has never experienced, then how it can make out that it is samosa or something else? So intelligence definitely has to have access to those previous impressions. Yeah. So it's not, these are not, they have lot of interaction with each other. That's how they are able to function as a cohesive unit. Okay, it's not like these are not discrete, they are very much connected.
Prabhuji said, like, by practicing bhakti, subtle body gets destroyed.
Material
part gets destroyed. So in this sense, like, we are showing a four antankarnas. So what kind of changes would happen there?
What kind of changes?
Because, like, what I am saying, because, like, we have conditioning. For everything, like samosa, everything, like taking this example only. So a conditioned soul has a desire for some conditioned things. So would, like, antakarnas would change in perceiving things?
So the question is, would I forget ever seeing a samosa? Would that impression of seeing and enjoying samosa will it be wiped out? See, when we start taking up to devotional service, then and practicing it sincerely, then Krishna takes over. Okay, then he may choose to wipe out that whole impression of ever eating a samosa if that is needed, or he may choose not to wipe it out also. He may cleanse the false ego, but not the memory altogether. So when the intelligence accesses that memory, oh, once I ate samosa, it was very nice. So Krishna will enjoy it. Okay? So the false ego is cleansed now. But But the impression of enjoying a samosa is not completely wiped out, so that, you know, the intelligence can give him the impetus to, you know, make that same samosa and offer it to Krishna. So it, Krishna decides which, whether to wipe out that impression completely or partly, or just, you know, if the false ego is cleansed, okay, then even if the mind says it's a pleasurable fragrance, and if the false ego is cleansed, it will think, you know, then how the whole sequence would be. So then when the samosa smell comes, the chitta would say, something is catching my attention. Then the intelligence would say, oh, that's a samosa smell that's catching. And then the mind would say, oh, it's a favorable, it's such a pleasurable fragrance. And the false ego would say, such a pleasurable fragrance for Krishna, let me cook it, like that. So it depends. Or else, if we have some very traumatic experiences, which are certainly cannot be dovetailed in the service of Krishna, then Krishna may choose to wipe those impressions altogether also. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. You have something? Okay, so we'll continue with today's discussion, 27th chapter, where Kapiladeva is going to continue about how this... Oh, khatam ho gaya kya? You don't have one extra? Oh, dono batches here. Acha. Acha. Okay. So how the practitioner of this Sankhya philosophy, of course, when I say practitioner of this Sankhya, it means Sankhya is the primary limb. Okay, they meditate on the impermanence of body, they meditate on these characteristics of these various elements, and you know, with the desire to achieve liberation. So when I say practitioners of Sankhya, what I mean is, this is their primary practice. But of course, we should understand Sankhya is a very much an integral part of the practice of Bhakti Yoga also. Okay? But it's the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, but it becomes the most important part of, you know, the Jnana Yoga practitioners. Okay? Yeah. Nahin, this is also part of Bhakti Yoga only. Nahin, Sankhya is a part of Bhakti. Like, for example, I'll tell you. If I have to, let's say we are after the class, I have to go to engineering block. Okay. You have to go to ashram. And let's say someone in the guest department, he has to go to Maharaj's cottage to clean it because Maharaj is coming. Okay. Till a particular destination, all three have to take the same path. Isn't it? So we have to go out, turn left, and reach till Maharaj's cottage. Okay? Till there we have to take the same path. Then from there, the guest department devotee will just have to climb up a little bit and get into the Maharaj's cottage. Well, both of us may have to turn left, go a little bit, and then I'll go walk straight, but you will turn right and go further. So it's like that. So that Sankhya philosophy, the philosophy of Sankhya, is used by the Ashtanga Yogis also, the Jnana Yogis also, and the devotees also. Okay, and it's proper philosophy. But it becomes the prime focus for the Jnana Yogis. They meditate on this aspect of the difference between body and soul, That becomes their prime focus. But for devotees, they accept it and they move forward. Okay, so I am not this body, I am the soul. So what is the constitutional position of soul? Servant of Krishna. So as servant of Krishna, how should I function? Perform. So the ultimate aim of Sankhya is to take the soul further to the stage of Bhakti Yoga where he can serve favorably Krishna. But the Sankhya Yogis may use the same philosophy and may want to merge into the impersonal Brahman of the Lord, which is not the highest but sort of an intermediate stage, like that.
Bhakti Yoga, I heard at that time, was founded on an attraction for the Lord's pastimes and qualities. So that's pure bhakti. Simply by hearing the Lord's form, name, qualities, one is inspired in devotional service. But in the principle of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, the essential nature of that devotional service is that although there's a predominance of devotional service, the attraction for one's, for the Lord's names, forms, and qualities is not developed.
It's not
developed. So I think the example is given of the four Kumaras. So in that sense, they use the knowledge of Sankhya philosophy to detach themselves from nature and fix themselves in Eka Bhakti, just uncover devotional service towards the Lord. But the devotional service is not as completely inspired by the Lord's forms and qualities as a pure devotee is. So for what I'd heard at that time was, for a pure devotee, the Sankhya philosophy is not so directly applicable. He will not look at, for instance, a man and woman together and see them, or an apple, and see it as a combination of sugar, water, or other elements. Rather, he will just see that, he will see that Krishna likes apple very much, or some associate in Vrindavan likes apple very much, and this was the pastime associated with the apple. So this was what I understood was the connection.
Yeah, that is true. But so for a pure devotee, or a person or a devotee on the path of pure devotional service, the impetus to perform his devotional service may not be Sankhya. But the knowledge of Sankhya is very much vital. That may not be the prime impetus for him to perform his devotional service. Okay, but nevertheless, if the proper understanding of Sankhya is not there, his practice of devotional service may steer towards sentimentalism. So therefore the understanding of Sankhya is very important. Not that after he hears and understands, that becomes the prime impetus for him to perform his devotional duties. Not that way. That is still Krishna Katha. But this foundation of Sankhya helps him practice his devotion above the stage of sentimentality. That is the thing. Okay. As he said, for a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, he may be really inspired hearing the Sankhya, and that may be like the clincher, now I understand that I have to perform bhakti. So it could be like that. Whereas for a simple devotee, it could be the pastimes of the Lord. But then, having said that, the simple devotee also has to raise himself above the level of simple sentimentalism. For that Sankhya helps. And for the Jnana Mishra Bhakta also, for him to push him to take up to devotional service also, Sankhya helps. Whatever may be one's initial stage, you can't get to choose your qualification. whatever may be your initial qualification, Sankhya helps in different ways. Okay, like that. Okay, so we'll continue. 27th chapter of third canto, understanding material nature. So now, Kapiladev, having described this various characteristics of material elements and how it's different from the soul, now he's explaining why should the jiva aim for liberation. Because ultimately, by following this Sankhya Yoga, the jiva is trying to gain liberation. But for someone who is not even convinced of that goal, he has to be first convinced that liberation is an honorable goal to aspire for. So first, in the first section of this chapter, Kapiladev first establishes why should one aspire for liberation. Okay, so he says, first five verses constitute this theme. So Kapiladev says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Prakritistopi Purusho Najyate Prakritair Gunaihi Avikarad Akartritvan Nirgunatva Jalarkavat. So he says, Prakritisto Api Purushaha. What is the meaning of Api? In spite of. In spite of being situated in Prakriti, Na Ajyate Prakritair Gunaihi. The jiva is not affected by the Prakriti's gunas. Why? Nirgunatvad, because by constitution the living entity is free from the three modes. And akartritvan, and he is not the doer. And avikarad, the jiva does not change. The nature of jiva is not to change. Whereas the nature of matter is that it goes through these six changes. Because the jiva by nature is nirguna, akartritvan, he is not the doer and he is devoid of change, avikara. Therefore, he is not affected by the prakriti's gunas. Okay. Jala arkavat, just like the sun rays on the surface of water. Jala arkavat, when the sun rays fall on water, or when the sun is reflected on the surface of water, when the water moves because of the, you know, influence of a breeze, or because someone disturbed the water by throwing a stone, when the water moves and shakes and trembles, the sun itself does not tremble, but only the reflection trembles. Similarly, the sun is the soul and the water is the three gunas or the prakriti. Okay, when prakriti goes through its various changes, thus, you know, the soul does not undergo any change. This is the first point that Kapiladev is making. The jiva in its pure state has nothing to do with prakriti. So he is not affected by prakriti's gunas. That's what he is telling. So I want you to guess. So considering this example, that this analogy of the sun and water that Kapiladev has taken, okay, so jala arkavat, the sun and the water, can you guess what is the point that he is going to make next? But when one identifies the reflected sun or the reflection of the sun to be the actual sun, then what happens? then when the water moves due to the influence of the wind or due to pelting of a stone, then he sees that the sun is also moving because he is identifying with the reflected sun. So how would you translate it in the Jiva's language? But when he starts identifying with the body, then he experiences suffering. That's what he is going to explain. And then he is going to say, therefore, one has to overcome this misidentification. And then he will say, that is possible only by practice of this Jnana Yoga or this Jnana Mishra Bhakti. That's what he is going to say. That is the point that he is going to make. And then he will say, okay, what are the various limbs of this Jnana Yoga? Okay. And then by practice of this, he will achieve liberation. That's what he will say. Then Devahuti will ask a question. See, in just 15 verses, 10, 12 verses you have described how this Jnana Yogi achieves liberation. But I don't think liberation can be possible so easily. You know, I have lived in this body for so long, assisting Kardam Muni, who is a very exalted personality. But in spite of that, my observation is that liberation is not so easy. There must be something more to it. Because I see that liberation is very rare. Is there something more to it? Then Kapiladeva explains, oh, you didn't understand. Let me now elaborate on what this practice is. And he elaborates on that practice. Okay. And then he says, if practiced in this way, then this process is sure to give you liberation. Okay. And he finally concludes the chapter by telling, provided, and he gives explanation why, if such a practice is practiced in this way, Prakriti will not touch that Jivatma, that he explains. So that's how he concludes this chapter. First he says, how the Jiva in its pure state is not affected by gunas, but when he misidentifies, he is affected. But when he practices this path of liberation, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, he can get out of it. And this is the practice of Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Then Devahuti says, I don't think it's so easy. Then he says, no, wait, you didn't understand it right. Then he clarifies on the practice. And then he says, if you practice like this, liberation is guaranteed. And he explains why Prakriti cannot touch such a person when he is practicing this path. That is the whole essence of this whole chapter. Okay. So he gives this example of analogy of sun. That will become clear when we hear about the limbs of this path, which he will describe in the sixth verse till 10th verse. When we will look at the limbs, then it will become more clear whether Jnana is sufficient or what really is this process, what constitutes this practice. When we see that, we will understand. Bhakti is also an integral component of that. Okay. Okay, so Prabhupada here, so Srila Vishnachakri Thakur comments here. The sun is not affected by the qualities of water. Okay, if the water quivers because of wind, the sun rays on the water also quiver. So what you see as reflection is essentially sun rays only. The sun itself has not landed on water. It's just a reflection. Okay, it's just the sun rays that are quivering. The sun itself is not quivering because of the quivering of water. In the 10th canto, it is explained. So I'm going to read, what I'm going to read is the translation of a verse from the 10th canto. Listen carefully. It explains this same concept more clearly. When the luminaries in the sky are reflected in water, they appear to be of different shapes due to wind. You know, sometimes when the water moves, the moon looks sometimes elongated, like that. Similarly, when the conditioned soul is absorbed in material thoughts, he accepts various manifestations of his own identity because of ignorance. Like, for example, if you see in a convex mirror or a concave mirror, highly convex or highly concave mirror, you see sometimes you look like really fat, or sometimes really thin, or sometimes, you know, if you, you know, very distorted forms. You know, you can make mirrors with, you know, change the focal length and things, curvature, and make someone look like really very, very funny. And sometimes there are some exhibitions where, you know, different such mirrors are kept where you go and see your own reflection, and, you know, it's so bewildering. So like that, similarly, when the conditioned soul is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations of his own identity because of ignorance. Okay. Therefore, the lesson is that when there is purification of mind, the concept of self also becomes purified. Therefore, the scriptures say, mind is the cause of both bondage and liberation. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Like that. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada here comments. I will read. You please tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. A person who is detached from the modes of material nature remains just like the sun reflected on water. Jala arkavat. When the sun is reflected on water, the movement of the water or the coolness or unsteadiness of the water cannot affect the sun. Similarly, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. When one engages in the activities of devotional service, he becomes just like the sun reflected on water. Although a devotee appears to be in the material world, actually he is in the transcendental world. So this is in the pure state. Jala Arkavat. Jala is separate, Arka is separate. But when you identify with the arka, not on the sky, but reflected on the water, then the problem comes. But that state will be described in the next verse. And then Prabhupada, you know, he explains these various words that are used. Avikara, akartatva, nirguna, and so on. Prabhupada says, as soon as he employs his energy and activities for sense gratification, this change of position is called vikara. Because in constitutional state, he does not use his senses for sense gratification. He uses it for the service of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, even in this material body, when he practices devotional service under the direction of spiritual master, he comes to the position which is without change, because that is his natural duty. Okay. So Prabhupada directly is speaking about the solution which Kapila Dev is going to offer in the 5th verse. Okay. Here he is talking about the soul in the constitutional state. And in the 5th verse he is going to speak about how from the conditioned state the soul can again go back to the constitutional state. But Prabhupada in the first purport only he explains. If the soul follows in the foot, in the instructions of a spiritual master, then he can get reinstated back in that constitutional state, like that. Okay, so that's what he says first. Then, saheshayarhi prakriter guneshvabis abhivishajjate ahankriya vimodatma kartas mityabhimanyate. But yarhi, what is the meaning of yarhi? If or when? Yarhi saha. But when this jiva prakriter guneshu abhivishajjate, when he becomes absorbed in the gunas of prakriti, okay, when he starts identifying with prakriti, with the body, then ahankriya vimudatma, then bewildered by the false ego, karta asmi iti abhimanyate, then he thinks he is the doer. Okay, just like the person looks at the reflection and he thinks that the sun is not wavering, it's just the reflection that is wavering. Similarly, when the living entity identifies with the body, then whatever changes the body undergoes, he thinks he is also undergoing. Okay, like that. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, actually the conditioned soul is forced to act under the pressure of the modes of material nature. The living entity has no independence. Actually he has. Like for example, when a person starts dreaming and he starts undergoing so many traumatic or happy situations within that dream, okay, is he actually undergoing? He's not undergoing. All he has to do is to just wake up. Once he wakes up, he has the independence to say, forget it, it's just a dream. But while he is still dreaming, while he is still in the dreamy state, he actually has no independence. So the living entity identifying with the body, absorbed in the modes of material nature, his state is the same. Okay, so he has no independence. When he is under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is free. But when under the impression that he is satisfying his senses, he engages in sense gratificatory activities, then he is actually under the spell of material nature. Like that. So then Prabhupada writes towards the end of the purport, a conditioned soul may be very good and act in the mode of goodness, but still he is conditioned under the spell of material nature. A devotee, however, acts completely under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Thus his actions may not appear to be of a very high quality to the common man, but the devotee has no responsibility. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yeah. So what is Prabhupada talking about? Yeah, he has no responsibility, like that. Okay. So first verse he said, actually the soul is completely spiritual, he has nothing to do with matter. But then the next verse he says, but when he starts misidentifying with prakriti, then he starts thinking he is the doer. Then what happens? Tena samsara padavim avashobhyetya nirvritah prasangikaihi karma doshair sad asanmishrayo nishu. So then avashaha. So if you look at the stable sun on top of your head, it does not move. But if you are not aware of that sun, and if you think this is the sun, then this sun seems to be avashaha. It has no control over itself. It helplessly moves when the water moves. It helplessly becomes elongated when there is a breeze in one direction. Now all such changes happen unwillingly. So that is the state of the soul when he identifies with matter. Okay? Because soul, it's avikara, changeless, but matter is not. Therefore, when soul identifies with matter, though constitutionally he is changeless, but because of his wrong identification, he feels that he is undergoing change. Okay? Therefore, anirvritaha, he becomes joyless because it's against his constitutional position. So, avashaha, anirvritaha, samsara padavim abhyeti. So, unwillingly and joylessly, he has to tread the path of samsara. Why? Prasangikaihi karma doshaihi. Because of his faulty association with prakriti. And how does that association result? Sad asad mishra yonishu. It sometimes gives him good birth, devata birth, sometimes gives him hellish birth, and sometimes mixed birth, like a human being. Which is neither too happy nor too, you know, suffering, not too much suffering. So therefore, because of this prasangikaihi karma dosha, because of this faulty association with prakriti, unwillingly he has to tread this path of samsara, receiving sometimes a favorable body, sometimes an unfavorable body, sometimes a mixed body like that. Okay? So Prabhupada writes here, here the word karma doshaihi means faulty actions. This refers to any activity, good or bad, but performed in this material world. So he says, karma doshaihi, Prabhupada clarifies, any activity, whether it from a material point of view, it may be good or bad, but when performed in this material world, in material consciousness, it is karma doshaihi. Okay? They are all contaminated, faulty actions, because of material association. The foolish conditioned souls may think that he is offering charity. Prabhupada gives an example. The foolish conditioned soul may think that he is offering charity by opening hospitals for material benefit or by opening an educational institution for material education. But he does not know that all such work is also faulty because it will not give him relief from the process of transmigration from one body to another body. It is clearly stated here, sad asad mishra yonishu. This means that one may take birth in a very high family, or he may take birth in higher planets among the demigods for his so-called pious activities in this material world. But this work is also faulty because it does not give him liberation. Okay? Because basically he doesn't belong here. Okay? So therefore, prasangikaihi karma doshaihi avashaha anirvritaha samsara padavim abhyeti. Unwillingly and joylessly he has to tread this path of samsara because of this faulty identification with prakriti. Okay? So then, arte hyavidyamanepi samsritirnanivartate dhyayato vishayanasya swapne nartagamo yata. Artehi avidyamanepi. Okay? Though the living entity has no material actions to perform. Okay? He need not perform any of these activities. Birth, death, old age, disease, nothing. Right? But still, samsritir na nivartate. But material life never ceases to this living entity. Why? Dhyayato vishayanasya, because he meditates on sense objects, thinking himself to be the doer. Okay? Therefore, which means, as long as he is dreaming, okay, some tiger or some elephant keeps attacking him. Though actually, he is in a city where no tiger or elephant comes. Okay, that is the truth. But as long as he is sleeping and dreaming, okay, you know, some tiger or some elephant or something keeps on attacking him. Samsritir na nivartate. Why? Dhyayato vishayanasya. So this misidentification and meditating on sense objects is compared to the dreamy state. Swapne anarthagamo yata. It is like the experience of unreal actions in a dream. Okay? It's unreal, but he thinks it is true. So dhyayato vishayanasya. As long as he keeps on meditating on the sense objects, thinking himself to be a doer, samsara does not cease for him. Okay? So like that, in three verses now, Kapiladeva has explained this unnatural position for the jiva in his conditioned state. How? Actually, in his pure state, he has nothing to suffer. But when he is misidentifying, he unwillingly and, he is pushed through this experience of samsara, which is very painful. So therefore, he is going to conclude in this next verse. But there is a way one can get out of this dreamy state. And what is that way he is going to tell? So we'll take a short break, 1 minute, and then we'll get back. Yeah. Could be, probably.
It's a reference. I will check. It's there in Vishnachakra Jhakur. I'll tell.
Okay, so we'll continue. So, there is a very detailed description of how this meditating on sense objects, of course, Bhagavad Gita also talks about it. Dayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kamat, kamat krodo bijayate. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti vibhramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat vinashyati. A similar, detailed description is given in the fourth canto also, where Kumaras are instructing Prithu Maharaj on this very more or less similar subject matter. There they explain this in more detail. So they say, how this everything starts from this wrong identification because of which one starts meditating on the sense objects. He says, Indriyair vishayakrishtrair akshiptam dhyayatam manaha chetanam harate buddhe stambastoyam iva hradat. They say, okay. Manaha, the mind of a person, dhyayatam, who is meditating on sense objects. Vishaya akrishtair indriyaihi akshiptam. It becomes bewildered by the senses which are attracted to those sense objects. So the mind first becomes bewildered. Though the hierarchy is, see, for a stable person, the hierarchy is indriyani paranyahur indriyabhya param manaha manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. Okay? But this is like a, for the ideal person, this is the hierarchy. But this is not a static hierarchy. It's a very dynamic hierarchy. It keeps on changing. Okay? For conditioned souls, generally the hierarchy becomes very dynamic. Sometimes the intelligence takes over, but most of the times the senses rule. Okay? Or rather You know, we have seen the second canto, the nature of each. For the senses, they gravitate towards sense objects. That is the nature. Indriyair Vishayakrishtam or something like that. Second canto says. Okay. So, this hierarchy is a dynamic hierarchy. It keeps on changing. It's not a static hierarchy. So, this hierarchy says how it should be. Okay. The intelligence is capable of controlling the mind. The mind is capable of controlling the senses. The senses should be able to control the sense objects. They should be able to say yes or no. Okay. This is the ideal, should be hierarchy. But in most cases, it's not the way. So the hierarchy is very dynamic. The natural nature of senses is to gravitate towards sense objects. So what does it mean to gravitate towards something? Like we gravitate towards earth. Why? Because the earth's gravitational pull is much more stronger than our gravitational pull. Therefore, the earth does not come to us. We gravitate towards earth. So, therefore, the in conditioned state, Bhagavatam says the senses gravitate towards, which means which is more powerful? Sense objects are more powerful than senses. And here it says, Vishaya Akrishtair Indriyaihi Manaha Akshiptam. So the senses, first Indriya. Indriyas are Vishaya Akrishtair. So Vishaya is bewildering the senses. Senses are being controlled by the sense objects. And that senses are Manaha Akshiptam. They are controlling the mind. Okay. Then Chetanam Harate Buddhe. And that mind is destroying the discriminating power of intelligence. Okay? Stambastoyam ivahrada. Just as grass takes away water from a lake. You see? Sometimes, have you observed? Suddenly, from taking the water of the lake, some grass slowly starts growing. But generally, grass is something which needs a lot of water for its growth. So it very harmlessly is small, but the moment it starts becoming bigger and bigger, it needs more and more water for its survival. So it keeps on sucking the water, and one fine day you don't see any water, only all you see is some grassland, you know, it's high grown grasses. So like that, without one's notice, one may, you know, very innocently, you know, see something and get attracted, but then the whole hierarchy gets reversed. Okay, so it is like the sense objects control the senses, senses control the mind, mind controls the intelligence, and the intelligence pulls the soul down to hell. Okay, so this, and it's not either this or that also. For a sadhaka, it's a dynamic. For a conditioned soul, it's the ulta. For someone who is completely stooped in ignorance, it's the opposite hierarchy. For someone who has taken up the spiritual path and is very much controlled, and who is a siddha, it's the original. Indriyani paranyahur, indriyabhya param manaha manasastu para buddhir, yo buddhe paratastu saha. But for sadhakas who are in between, okay, this hierarchy is highly dynamic. Sometimes the senses fall prey to sense objects, and sometimes the intelligence takes over and he says, stop, you know, it's not good for you. Your LDL is too much, HDL is too low. Okay, start eating raw food. Okay, start exercising. Okay, sometimes the intelligence takes over, controls the mind, mind controls the senses. Sometimes the senses get succumb to the sense objects, and it's like a very dynamic hierarchy, you know, for sadhakas. Otherwise, for someone who is very stooped in ignorance, the opposite hierarchy is true. As here, Indriyair Vishayakrishtair Akshiptam Dhyayatam Manah Chetanam Harate Buddhe Stambastoyam Ivahradad. It's the opposite. Exact opposite. Okay, so it's like this. So this hierarchy is very much dynamic hierarchy. Like that. And then slowly, in the next 2-3 verses, the same thing. How it eventually leads to one's fall down is described. Okay. So, till now, Kapiladev has described that how for the pure living entity has nothing to do with matter. He does not have to go through the changes that matter undergoes. But when he wrongly starts identifying with Prakriti, that helplessly he has to undergo the changes of matter. Helplessly, avashaha, anirvrataha, samsara padavim abhyeti. He has to go through this samsara. And though he does not have to do it, but he helplessly goes through this whole thing because of this wrong identification. Okay? How to get out of it? He says, atayevashana ischittam prasaktam asatam pati bhakti yogena tivreda viraktyachana yedvasham. So, after establishing the need for liberation, he explains how to get that liberation. Ataha, therefore, shanaihi means gradually. Shanaihi chittam cha nayedvasham. Therefore, gradually one should bring the mind under control. Because now the mind is controlled by the senses, which are controlled by the sense objects. So gradually one should bring the mind under control. Control from where? Prasaktam asatampati. Mind which is right now attached to the path of material objects. So from there, gradually the mind should be brought under control. But how to do it? Bhakti yogena tivrena. Of course, Prabhupada translates bhakti yogena tivrena as tivrena bhakti yogena. You know, by intense devotional service. But Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives a slightly different translation in connection to this path that Kapiladev is going to speak further. By strong bhakti and yoga, viraktyacha, accompanied by disgust for material life. Okay? So by this one can, so by bhakti or yoga along with virakti, by that one can gradually bring the materially attached mind to control. One can gradually control this materially attached mind. Okay, that's what is the solution that Kapiladev is giving. Okay, so Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the process of liberation is very nicely explained in this verse. The cause of one's becoming conditioned by material nature is his thinking himself the enjoyer, proprietor or friend of all living entities. This false thinking is a result of contemplation of sense enjoyment. When one thinks that he is the best friend to his countrymen, to society or to humanity, and he engages in various nationalistic, philanthropic and altruistic activities, all that is just so much concentration on sense gratification. What is Prabhupada talking about? Prasaktam asatam pati. Okay. It is therefore recommended in this verse that one engage very seriously in the devotional service of the Lord. Bhakti yogena tivrena. This means that one should not think that he is the proprietor, benefactor, friend or enjoyer. He should always be cognizant that the real enjoyer is Krishna. That is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. Then Prabhupada writes, as soon as one engages in such serious devotional service, naturally the propensity to falsely claim lordship over material nature disappears. What is Prabhupada talking about? Viraktya. That detachment is called vairagya. Instead of being absorbed in so-called material lordship, one engages in Krishna consciousness. That is control of consciousness. Okay? Like that, Prabhupada explains. Yeah. This is Jnana Mishra Bhakti only. It will become clear because Yoga Mishra Bhakti is described in the next chapter. Okay. Okay. So, now in the next section, verses 6 to 11, he is going to explain the sadhana of such a practitioner. Because he mentioned the path. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Bhakti yogena tivrena viraktyacha nayedvasham. So how exactly one performs this path? That is described in in the second section, starting from verse 6 to 11. Okay. Yamadibir yoga patair abhyasan shraddayanvitah mayi bhavena satyena matkata shravanena cha. Okay. So three limbs are described here. Okay. Shraddayanvitah, with faith. Abhyasan yoga patair yamadibir. With faith one should practice the yoga process, starting with yama, niyama, asana, etc. Okay. Yamadibir yoga patair abhyasan shraddayanvitah. With faith one should practice this path of yoga. Okay. Starting with yama, niyama. But matkata shravanena cha. But while engaging in this, one should hear my glories also. But not just that. Though you may want to merge into the impersonal Brahman, but mai bhavena satyena. Okay. One should have the perfect understanding that the form of the Supreme Lord is real. You may want to merge into the impersonal effulgence, but you know, you should have clear understanding that the form of the Lord is real, like that. So that is the first three aspects that he mentions. Okay. With faith, follow the yoga process, hear my glories, and understand that my form is real. Okay. So Prabhupada here explains in the purport, the practice of yoga by physical exercise is not the ultimate goal. Okay. The real end is to concentrate and to control the mind and train oneself to be situated in faithful devotional service. Okay. Bhavena or bhava is a very important factor in the practice of yoga or in any spiritual process. Bhava is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Buddha bhava samanvitaha. Which verse is that? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam. Buddha bhava samanvita. What is the meaning of bhava samanvita? Absorbed in Krishna. Feeling, okay, with great feeling. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the controller. Mattas sarvam pravartate. From me everything emanates. Iti matva. One who understands this, what does he do? Mam bhajante. He worships me. Bhava samanvita. With great absorption and feeling, he worships me. Okay. Buddha, and such a person is very intelligent, like that Krishna says. Okay. So Rupa Goswami explains very nicely in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu how this bhava or preliminary stage of love of God is achieved. He states that one first of all has to become faithful, shraddayanvita. Faith is attained by controlling the senses, either by yoga practice, following the rules and regulations, and practicing the sitting postures, or by engaging directly in bhakti yoga as recommended in the previous verse. Okay. So Prabhupada brings us back here, because after reading this whole description. He does not want us to eventually become, you know, Ashtanga yogis or, you know, Jnana yogis. So he says, okay, it is possible by to achieve this control of mind by yoga practice also, but a more direct practice is bhakti, so that is best. Okay. Because in Kali Yuga, not everyone might have the patience to read the whole thing and draw conclusions. So therefore, Prabhupada in his purport, you know, he gives the conclusion only. So that, you know, whatever may be the exact technical detail of what Kapila Devi is trying to explain, you may not have the patience to read the whole thing. You may read one here, like that, you know, and then you may draw the wrong conclusion. Mandasu manda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrita. So let us not take a chance. So though this verse talks about Ashtanga Yoga, let me say that one can achieve this by yoga practice also, but a more direct way of achieving it is devotional service. Do it like that. Okay. Bhakti Yoga is direct and the other process is indirect. But even if the indirect process is taken, there is no success unless one comes fully to the direct process of hearing and chanting. What is Prabhupada talking about? So he says, Yoga Pata is the process that he is giving, but unless that includes Matkata Shravanena and Mai Bhavena Satyena, the success is not guaranteed. Okay, like that. Okay, so let's continue. So that's what he's telling here. Yamadibir Yogapadair Abhyasan Shaddayanvita Mai Bhavena Satyena Matkata Shravanena Cha. Okay. So this is the practice. In brief, he says, you practice this, you will attain. So here Srila Vishnachakadagur comments in his purport. To attain liberation by this process, one should accept the form of the Lord as real. Otherwise, it is offensive. Okay? Like in the second canto also we saw, even the Krama Muktas, Vidya Tapo, Yoga Samadhi Bhajam, Vidya Tapo Yoga Samadhi Bhajam. It is mentioned about the Krama Muktas also. And then it is said that giving up the bad intelligence, Visrijya Dauratmyam Ananya Sauhrida Hridopa Guhyarha Padam Pade Pade, it is mentioned. They embrace the lotus feet of the Lord within their heart with great feeling. And Visrijya Dauratmyam, they give up that bad intelligence which says that the Lord's form is unreal. Otherwise, there is no success. Any proof that you can think? Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Narada Muni says, what else? That's one of the verse. He says, Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava. Yenya ravindaksha vimukta maninas. Anadrita yushmadangraya. He has no respect for the lotus feet of the Lord, which means he does not accept the form of the Lord. Therefore, he is only vimukta maninas. He can only think at the most that he is liberated, but he will never get liberated. This is another verse from the 11th canto. Yesham purusham sakshad atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajananti sthanad brashta patantyada. A person in any of these four varnas or ashramas, if he does not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he falls down from his position. Okay, like that. So, then, having described this process in the 6th verse, now he is going to explain that such a practitioner should cultivate these 18 qualities in addition to his practice. 7, 8, 9, 10, in 4 verses he is describing these 18 qualities which need to be cultivated by this practitioner. Okay? सर्वभूत समत्वेन निर्वैरेण प्रसंगतः ब्रह्मचर्येण मौनेन स्वधर्मेण बलीयसा. सर्वभूत समत्वेन, वन शुड सी ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स इक्वली. निर्वैरेण, विदाउट एनमिटी. अप्रसंगतः, विदाउट अटैचमेंट. ब्रह्मचर्येण, वन शुड ऑब्जर्व सेलिबसी. मौनेन, वन शुड ऑब्जर्व साइलेंस. स्वधर्मेण बलीयसा, वन शुड परफॉर्म ऑक्युपेशनल ड्यूटीज एस एन ऑफरिंग टू द लॉर्ड. बलीयसा मीन्स एस एन ऑफरिंग टू द लॉर्ड. स्वधर्मेण बलीयसा. सो द प्रोसेस इज गिवन इन द सिक्स्थ वर्स एंड दिस इज द अकंपनिंग लाइफ स्टाइल विच इज फेवरेबल फॉर दैट प्रैक्टिस. इफ दिस लाइफ स्टाइल इज नॉट प्रैक्टिस्ड देन फॉलोइंग दैट प्रोसेस इज नॉट पॉसिबल. ओके, so what is that lifestyle? Sarvabhuta samatvena, he should learn to see all living beings equally. Nirvairena, without enmity, without attachment, and he should observe celibacy, silence, and should perform his occupational duties as an offering to the Supreme Lord, like that. So I'll read some portions of the purport. You please tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, a devotee or a learned sage does not see any difference between a learned brahmana, a dog, an elephant or a cow, because he knows that the body is the outer covering only and that the soul is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. A devotee has no enmity towards any living entity. But that does not mean he mixes with everyone. Aprasangataha. Okay? That is prohibited. Aprasangataha means not to be intimate in touch with everyone. He has to be nirvairena, at the same time aprasangataha. It's difficult. Okay? You should not have enmity towards anyone. At the same time, you should not intimately mix with everyone also. Okay? A devotee should not speak needlessly. Maunena. A serious devotee has no time to speak nonsense. He is always busy in Krishna consciousness. Whenever he speaks about Krishna. Okay? Maunena. So, there is a verse in the... Oh, I thought I had it. So, this is the verse. This is from, again, the same Kumara's teachings to Prithu Maharaj. They say, okay, this will come in the next verse. We'll take it with that, because next verse talks about Vivikta Sharanaha. So with that, we'll take that Mauna also. Okay. Another important item mentioned here is Swadharmena, or being exclusively occupied in one's eternal occupation, which is to act as the eternal servitor of the Lord, or to act in Krishna consciousness. So Swadharmena, Prabhupada takes us once Sanatana Dharma of worshipping the Supreme Lord, like that. Okay. So how many qualities have been mentioned here? Sarvabhuta Samatvena, Nirvairena, Aprasangataha, Brahmacharyena, Maunena, Swadharmena, Baliyasa. 6. Okay. Remember, 18 you have to recall. Yadrachayopalabdena संतुष्टो मितभुक् मुनिहि विविक्त शरण शांतो मैत्र करुण आत्मवान यदृच्छया उपलब्धेन संतुष्टः. He should be satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. मितभुक्, he should eat with regulation. मुनिहि, he should contemplate. विविक्त शरणः, he should live in a secluded place. शांतः, he should be peaceful. Maitraha, he should be friendly. Karuna, he should be compassionate. Atmavan, he should be very determined. Okay. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, everyone who has accepted a material body must maintain the necessities of the body. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yadrichaya upalabdena santushta. Okay, that's where he is coming. Okay. He must maintain his body by acting or earning some livelihood. But a devotee should work should only work for such income as is absolutely necessary. He should be satisfied always with such income. Santushtaha. Okay. And should not endeavor to earn more and more simply to accumulate the unnecessary. The exact word used in this connection is yadrichaya, means that every living entity has a predestined happiness and distress in his present body. This is called the law of karma. It is not possible that simply by endeavors to accumulate more money, a person will be able to do so. Otherwise, almost everyone would be on the same level of wealth. Okay. We should engage our valuable time in prosecuting Krishna consciousness. In other words, one should be satisfied by his natural condition. Okay. Another word here is mitabhuk. This means one should eat only as much as necessary to maintain the body and soul together. One should not be gluttonous to satisfy the tongue. Innocent foods like grains, vegetables, fruits, flowers and milk preparations are offered to the Lord, and therefore there is no scope for offering foods which are in the modes of passion and ignorance. Okay. And then Prabhupada comments on the word muni. Mitabhuk munihi. Prabhupada writes, it is also recommended that the devotee should be muni or thoughtful. He should always think of Krishna, which means that is asthitadhir muni. Okay. He should be thoughtful, but thoughtful of what? Okay. That way everyone is thoughtful. Thoughtful of sense gratification. But Prabhupada writes muni. And in the traditional sense, a muni is thoughtful in the sense he is speculating. So, but a devotee is also a muni in the sense he should always think of Krishna and how to render better service to the Supreme Lord. That should be his only anxiety. As a materialist is always thoughtful about improving his material condition, a devotee's thought should always be engaged in improving his condition in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he should be a muni. And then Prabhupada speaks about, a devotee should select a place of residence where everyone is interested in devotional service. What is Prabhupada talking about? Vivikta Sharana means what? Secluded place. What is Prabhupada writing? A devotee should select a place of residence where everyone is interested in devotional service. Generally, therefore, a devotee goes to a sacred place of pilgrimage where devotees live. Okay. That is our understanding of Vivikta Sharana. And this is the true understanding. This is not just Prabhupada mentioning. Kumaras, when they describe about the same principles, same section appears in the fourth canto. They say, Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vina Harer Guna Piyusha Panat. They say the second, third and fourth lines. They say, Vivikta Ruchya, and he should have taste for solitary living. Paritosha Atmani, with completely being satisfied in the self. But under what conditions? Vina Harer Guna Piyusha Panat. As long as one cannot relish the nectar of the Lord's qualities, if one has not developed taste for relishing nectar of Lord's qualities, then Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani. Then he should live in a secluded place and be satisfied with the self. But the moment he develops a taste for relishing the nectar of the Lord's qualities, then he should go to a place which is filled with devotees who are interested in performing devotional service. That's what they say. So Vivikta Sharana means Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vina Harer Guna Piyusha Panat. That is the meaning. Okay, so that's what Prabhupada is writing here. The next item is Shanta or peacefulness. The devotee should not be agitated. He should be satisfied with his natural income, eat only as much as he needs to keep his health, live in a secluded place and always remain peaceful. Peace of mind is necessary for prosecuting Krishna consciousness. Okay, like that. Okay, so we'll continue. So how many qualities have been described in this verse? 8 yadrichaya upalabdena santushta 1 mitabuk 2 munihi 3 vivikta sharana 4 shantaha 5 maitraha 6 karuna 7 atma 1 8 previous verse had 6 so now 14 over another 4 remaining okay सानुबंधे च देहेस्मिन् अकुर्वन् असदाग्रहं ज्ञानेन दृष्टतत्वेन प्रकृते पुरुषस्य च निवृत्तबुद्ध्यवस्थानो धूरीभूतान्यदर्शनः उपलभ्यात्मनात्मानं चक्षुषेवार्कमात्मदृक् मुक्तलिंगं सदाभासं असति प्रतिपद्यते सतो बन्धुम् असच्चक्षु सर्वानस्योतमद्वयम् Okay, so he says, then the 15th quality, akurvan asadagraham dehe asmin chasanubande, asadagraham akurvan, he should not have thoughts of I and mine, asmin dehe for this body, chasanubande or for his relatives, that is the 15th quality, he should not have thoughts of I and mine, bodily identification should not be there, and then, ज्ञानेन दृष्टतत्वेन प्रकृतेः पुरुषस्य च निवृत्त बुद्धिअवस्थानः बुद्धि अवस्थान मीन्स देर आर थ्री स्टेट्स ऑफ मटेरियल इंटेलिजेंस जागृति सुषुप्ति एंड स्वाप जागृति मीन्स वेकफुलनेस सुषुप्ति मीन्स कंप्लीट स्लीप एंड स्वाप मीन्स ड्रीमी स्टेट He should overcome these three states of material intelligence and come to the Turiya, fourth stage. But how will he do this? Jnanena drishta tattvena prakritehe purushasya cha. By realized knowledge of prakriti and purusha, he should transcend all states of consciousness such as waking, sleeping and dreamy stage. That is the 16th item. Dhuribhuta Anyadarshana. He should see all material objects from far away. That is the 17th quality. Then, Atmadrig, this Jnani, Upalabhya Atmana. He should realize the Paramatma, Atmanam, by the pure Jiva alone. And Pratipadyate, and he should attain the Lord. Seeing him like an ocean of light, arkam, by the healthy eye, chakshusha eva. Okay, so two things are mentioned. So till 17 items it's clear. The 18th item is he should realize the Paramatma. Okay, by the pure jiva means jiva who has been purified by the practice of bhakti. Otherwise it's not possible. By the healthy eye, by the eye which has been purified, or by the mind which has been purified. Okay. So two aspects are given. Mind should be purified and the jiva should be purified. Pure jiva. So pure mind is indicated by healthy eye and pure jiva is and the purified jiva is indicated by the word atmanam. So here Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, you know, explains these two terminologies. He says healthy eye, okay, he says an owl also may have a healthy eye, but however healthy his eye may be, he cannot see the sun. He sees only at night, isn't it? Similarly, a jnani, by practice of some process of jnana, tapasya, etc., he may purify himself of material desires, but he cannot see the Supreme Lord, though he has a healthy mind. And atmanam, by the pure jiva alone. So what does that mean? It means jiva who has been purified by practice of bhakti. So both are needed. Mind must be cleansed. So just practice of bhakti is not sufficient. one should practice bhakti and purify his mind. So both are needed. Okay. So both bhakti, practice of bhakti is important and mind should also be purified. Then one can see the Paramatma that is indicated here. Okay. Chakshusha eva means healthy eye, which indicates purified mind. Okay. But it's not purified enough to see the Supreme Lord. That comes, that purification happens only by practice of bhakti. So that is the 18th verse, 18th quality. So now, who is this Paramatma who has to be realized? That is the 11th verse talks about it. What are the characteristics of the super soul? He says, Muktalingam sadabasam asati pratipadyate sato bandum asachakshuk sarvanasyota madvayam. What are the characteristics of this super soul? He says, Mukta Lingam. This super soul, which is the object of realization of the muktas, of the liberated soul. Asati sadabhasam. Asati means this temporary material world. Sad means eternally. Abhasam means remains. The super soul feature of the Supreme Lord always eternally remains in this material world in his as Paramatma. Isn't it? So asati sadabhasam, that is the first characteristic of super soul. Second, sato bandhum. He is the cause of prakriti. Isn't it? Who is the source of prakriti? Supreme Lord. Okay. From him. Karanodaka Sai Vishnu's body only the prakriti emanates. Isn't it? Next. Asat Chakshuhu. He is the revealer of the prakriti's evolutes. Evolutes means the products of prakriti, which is the material elements. So unless the Paramatma enters into Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, unless he enters and manifests them in their true nature, one cannot see or perceive them. As Shukadeva Goswami prays in one of his prayers. What is that prayer? Bhungte gunan shodasha shodashatmakah solankrishishta bhagavan vacham sime, he says. Like that. So just as he enters and gives the elements life so that they can act according to their nature. Similarly, may you enter my words and make those words glorify you. Like that. So that is the third quality. Revealer of the prakriti's evolutes. That is the material elements. Okay. Then fourth quality. Sarva anusyutam. Not only does he reveal them, but he pervades them also. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He pervades each and every element. And advayam. He is one without a second. These are the five qualities of Paramatma. Okay. So, let's first try to recall the five qualities of Paramatma. Asati sadabhasam. He remains permanently in the material world. That is the first quality. In any order, whatever you remember, you tell. He is the cause of prakriti and its evolutes. What is that? Sato bandhum. Then, asat chakshu. He makes the elements. He reveals the elements. Then, sarvanusyutam. He pervades the material elements. Then, advayam, he is one without a second. So these are the five qualities of super soul. So what are the 18 aspects of favorable lifestyle that this practitioner has to develop? ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಸಮತ್ವೇನ ನಿರ್ವೈರೇಣ ಮೌನೇನ. ಓಕೆ ಓಕೆ, ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಡೂ ದಿ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ವೇ. ಓಕೆ, ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ 14. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ 9 and 10 ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 4 ಮೋರ್. ಓಕೆ, ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಸೀ ವಾಟ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದೋಸ್ 4, ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿಸ್ 18 ಅಂಡ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ರಿಕಾಲ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಹರ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಏದರ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಜಗದೀಶ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್. ಓಕೆ, ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಡೂ ದಟ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ನೌ ಲೆಟ್ ಮೀ ಗೋ ಟು 9th and 10th. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿ 10th ವರ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ರೈಟ್ಸ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸಮ್ವೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ 5th-6th ಲೈನ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ದೂರಿಭೂತ ಅನ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನ, ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಒನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್, ಹೀ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೀ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಇನ್ ದಿ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಮೇ ಸೀ ಮೆನಿ ಮೂವಬಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಮೂವಬಲ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಹೀ ಸೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್? ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಇಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್? ತಾವರ ಜಂಗಮ ದೇಕಿ ನಾ ದೇಕಿ ತಾರ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಹೋಯ್ ನಿಜ ಇಷ್ಟ ದೇವ ಸ್ಫೂರ್ತಿ. ದಿಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಕಾನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ರಾಮಾನಂದ ರಾಯ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು. ರಾಮಾನಂದ ರಾಯ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ರಾಂಗ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಸ್ಥಾವರ ಜಂಗಮ ದೇಕಿ ನಾ ದೇಕೆ ತಾರ ಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಹೋಯ್ ನಿಜ ಇಷ್ಟದೇವ ಸ್ಫೂರ್ತಿ. ಯುವರ್ ಇಷ್ಟದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಸ್ಥಾವರ ಜಂಗಮ ದೇಕಿ ನಾ ದೇಕಿ ತಾರ ಮೂರ್ತಿ, ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಬಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಯುವರ್ ಇಷ್ಟದೇವ್ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟ್ ದೇರ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಸೀ ಮೀ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ವೇ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಯು ನೋ ಜೋಕ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ರಾಮಾನಂದ ರಾಯ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. As soon as he remembers the energy of Krishna, he immediately remembers Krishna in his personal form. Therefore, all his observations, in all his observations, he sees Krishna only. Okay. Okay. So let's see these 18 qualities. Okay. Wherever we have not seen about all the qualities, but whatever you can recall, you can try to recall. Equality of all jivas, what we have seen. Pandita Samadarshina, that verse he quotes. And then how does he connect it to okay, then what about no enmity? Nirvairena. He just says he has no enemies. And then how does he connect to no material association? No enmity does not mean he does not freely mix with everyone. Okay. Then brahmacharya. Then mauna. What does he talk about mauna? He should stay in a place where everyone is a devotee, interested in devotional service. Okay. And then performing one's occupation as an offering to the Lord, we haven't seen. Satisfied with what comes of its own accord. What did he say? Only to keep the body and soul together. Why? Because he knows that whatever but he has to get is already predestined. Okay. Then what does he talk about mitha bhukh? Regulated eating, only to keep the body and soul together. And then? You should when all these grains, fruits and milk products are available, one should not unnecessarily offer food in the mode of passion and ignorance to the Supreme Lord. Okay. Munihi contemplates on Krishna. Okay. What else? What else he says? One should contemplate on how one can serve Krishna better. Okay. Like that. And then living in a secluded place, Vivikta Ruchya, association of devotees, Shantaha, peaceful, we didn't see much, Maitraha, Karuna, Atmavan, okay, and free from the conceptions of I and mine. And then 16th is transcend the three states of intelligence by realized knowledge of Prakriti and Purusha, and see material objects from far away. Duri Bhuta Anya Darshana. Uske bare mein, what did we see? Stavara Jangama Deki. And then he realizes the super soul. What are the five characteristics of super soul? Asati Sadabhasam. Cause of Prakriti and its evolutes. He reveals Asat Chakshu, Advayam, one without second, and then all pervading, Sarvanasyutam. And these are the five qualities of the super soul. Atmavan means he is very determined. Okay. Mukta Lingam means this super soul is the object of realization of the liberated souls. You can say it's one of the qualities, or it's, yeah, you can say Mukta Lingam. Third is, he does not, as from Prabhupada's purport, third means he does not take their association seriously, or too much he doesn't associate with them. And 17, Prabhupada writes, Dhuri Bhuta Anya Darshana. What is his darshan? Whatever he sees Krishna, like that. Swapa, Jagrati and Sushupti. Those are the three states of material intelligence. But those are not the states of the living entity. So by practice of some spiritual path, he transcends those three states. Okay. The living entity does not need sleep. The living entity does not dream. Those are not his needs. So when someone asks, what were you doing? Why are you late for the class? Prabhuji, I was sleeping. Actually, the living entity does not sleep. That sleepy state is the state of the material intelligence. It's not the state of the soul. And one can transcend that state by practice of one of the spiritual paths, like that. Okay. So till now we have seen two sections. What are the first section? What is the necessity of liberation? Why should a conditioned soul aim for liberation? Second, what did we see? So he concluded that by section by telling one can achieve it by this process of Jnana Yoga. Then he says, okay, if that is true, then what does this practice of Jnana Yoga constitute? That he described in the sixth verse he mentioned, and the lifestyle that is favorable, he mentioned in 7 to 10, and in the 11th verse he said, while describing this, 18th point of one should realize the Paramatma, he explains who this Paramatma is. So in the next section, which is little technical section, he is going to describe about how you are talking about the soul should realize this super soul. But first thing, how do I know that the soul and super soul exist? Okay, how can one understand? So first, he is going to explain how by Anuman one can understand, and then next he will explain how by Pratyaksha one can understand the presence of soul and super soul. So we'll take a small 2-minute break. We'll come back and then take this section. Okay.
Hare Krishna, there is an announcement. After class, please stay here for 5 minutes. Gaurang Dashanpur told us to be here. Something they will show. Some senior batch people.
Okay, so we'll continue. So now, how one can understand the presence of soul and super soul by anuman, inference? Okay, before we get into this, Prabhupada always, in many of his purports and classes, he explains how one can understand the presence of soul by inference, anuman, just by logic. Yeah, that is an analogy he gives to explain. But how one can understand based on observation and logic, Prabhupada says. That is one thing he says, you know. This morning also I was hearing in the altar, Prabhupada was telling, you know. You say that someone has left, your father has left. What, your father is still lying on the bed? Who has left? Like that. You say my body, my hand. You don't say I body, I hand. So these are like some of the arguments Prabhupada gives. And so like that. And then what logic that Prabhupada gives to understand the presence of super soul or God? Many things he says, but whatever you can recall, just by logic. That is one. That is one. Okay, that is one thing he says is two people who have same capacity, taking the same effort, do the same activity, but they get different results. So there must be someone else who is controlling the results. By that you can understand there must be some controller. So there is a limit to logic, to what logic can reveal. Okay. So these kind of, you know, you even in your 6-day course, you know, you know. You can use these logics, but there is a limit to this logic. Okay, it's just like seeing a shadow and try to draw exactly and try to understand exactly how the object looks like. Seeing a shadow, you can conclude that there is an object and there is a source of light. And this object is obstructing that source of light, therefore the shadow has come. So from the shape of the shadow, to some extent you can say how this object will look like. But you cannot tell what color the object would be, what is the color of that object's eyes, ears. Those things and all you cannot say. So that is, from logic you can sort of infer something, but exactly to understand is not possible. So therefore, can you infer the presence of Lord? Yes. Can you explain how the Lord looks like, how he functions based on inference? No. Just like, you know, just by seeing the shadow, you cannot exactly explain how the personality looks like. You can infer that a personality is there, but you cannot explain him perfectly. Okay. For that, you either need pratyaksha or Shabda, one of the two. One of the two you need. Okay, so now here Kapiladev explains how one can understand the presence of soul and super soul based on inference by using an analogy. Okay, we'll try to understand this. Yata jalasta abhasa stalaste navadrishyate स्वाभासेना तथा सूर्यो जलस्तेना दिविस्तितः एवं त्रिवृद्ध अहंकारो भूतेन्द्रियमनोमयैः स्वाभासैर्लक्षितो नेन सदाभासेना सत्यदृक्। यता जलस्त आभासः, jala is water, abhasa is shadow or reflection. Yata jalastha abhasa, just as a reflection in water, sthalasthena, reflected on a wall, jalasthena avadrishyate is inferred to come from the image reflected on water. And suryaha divistitaha sva abhasena tata, and the sun situated in the sky is inferred by this reflection on water. Okay, first let's try to understand this analogy. Okay, let's say there is, it has rained and it's an uneven surface there, and there is a puddle of water that is collected there. Okay, and the sun's reflection is there, and sometimes if the angle and everything is right, you may see the reflection of that water on the wall. You have seen that sometimes, very vague reflection is there. So seeing the reflection on the wall, you can understand, oh, this reflection is coming from some other reflecting surface. Then you see, oh, there is water, water is that reflecting surface. But why is that water's reflection I am seeing here? Then you can infer that there must be some luminary on top which is being reflected there, whose reflection is seen on the wall. So there are two inferences. Seeing the reflection on the wall, you can infer that there must be some water or some glass which is there outside. And seeing that water, you can understand there is some luminary on top whose light it's getting reflected through this water. So there are two inferences. Okay. So what is Kapila Dev trying to explain through this analogy of reflection on the wall and reflection on water? So he says, evam. What is evam? Thus or similarly, evam trivrit ahankaraha, the jiva existing with the imposition of threefold ahankara, okay, lakshitaha is inferred sva abhasair by its reflection bhuta indriya manomayaihi. Similarly, the jiva can be inferred by its reflection in the body, senses and mind, which means the body is functioning in a certain way, the senses are functioning in a certain way, mind is functioning. Suddenly all of it stops functioning when something moves out of the body. Isn't it? So from that you can infer that there must be some force, or you may not know what it is, but there must be some force or something that is there which is animating this body, senses and mind. Okay, that much you can infer, isn't it? That is like the reflection on the wall, seeing the reflection on the wall and inferring another reflection. Okay, but this is trivrit ahankara. See, the more and more successive reflections are there, it becomes less and less clearer, isn't it? So the second reflection is the reflection of on the wall. It's what exactly is getting reflected, you don't exactly understand. But when you go to the source of this reflection, that is water, then it becomes little more clearer. And then when you look directly at the sun, it's more clear. Oh, it is the sun. Okay. So seeing a conditioned soul, you can infer the presence of soul. Seeing the activities of a conditioned living entity, you can infer, okay, there is some living force which is pushing this body. But then the first reflecting surface is like the purified living entity. Okay. Evam trivrit ahankara lakshita swabhasair bhuta indriya manomayehi. And anena, and from this, satyadrik lakshitaha sad abhasena, and from this the paramatma is inferred by the jiva purified by bhakti. So when a person is completely purified by practice of bhakti, then seeing his activities, one can infer the Paramatma. Prabhupada gives an example. How? Prabhupada says, when a materialist sees a flower, he plucks that flower, smells it and thinks, wow, so nice for my enjoyment. But then he says, but when a purified devotee, when he looks at that flower, he takes it, offers it to someone, worships that someone, and seeing his activity, you can infer that there is someone greater than him to please whom he is offering all these. So Prabhupada explained, this is Yukta Vairagya. Seeing a living entity, purified living entity, engage in the activities of Yukta Vairagya. He is using it for someone. So seeing his activities, you can infer the presence of some higher authority. So the activities of a purified living entity indicate the presence of Paramatma. That is how Prabhupada explains. Vishnajagadaguru explains, the more one is purified by practice of bhakti, the more his qualities and activities resemble the activities and qualities of the Supreme Lord. So, a living entity who is purified more closely reflects the qualities of Paramatma. So therefore, from his activities and qualities, you can infer the presence of Paramatma. Just like the reflection of sun on that first reflection is more closely resembling the sun overhead than this secondary reflection on the wall. Clear? So that's how you understand the presence of soul and super soul based on Anuman. Okay. So now, what is the sun compared to? What is the first reflection compared to? What is the second reflection compared to? Conditioned soul. Okay, now you explain the analogy. In one line, explain the whole thing. Rephrase it. Think about it and rephrase the whole thing in one line. In one line means, explain. You know, it should be all inclusive. You have to convey the whole message. Restate the whole thing in one line. Okay, you try. Okay, in two sentences you try. Yeah, okay. See, this is an analogy that is being described. So you have, whenever there is an analogy, you have to start with just as. Isn't it? Just as the sun. Okay, like that. Okay, in one or two sentences, you try to rephrase and explain. Yeah. Give him a mic.
Just as the purified living entity can be inferred from the reflection which is present in the material world in terms of the reflection on the wall, similarly the super soul can be inferred by understanding the reflection of the super soul in the water in terms of the living entity.
Okay, can anyone? Okay, it's okay, but it's not like perfect. Okay, that's the right understanding, but you haven't incorporated the analogy.
The more clearer is the reflection. So the successive reflections actually predict the different states, means the contaminated state, pure state and the super soul. So the purity level will actually designate what it is represented.
Okay, you are explaining. Okay, that is correct. The understanding that we have discussed. Okay, you try. or three sentences, whatever you can. You just have to you have to rephrase the translation, that's all.
When we infer, just as we infer reflections on the water, reflections, we can infer the soul and super soul by characteristics.
Okay. That is right. Okay, once more you try.
The super soul is reflected as the pure jiva, and the pure jiva is reflected in its conditioned state. So just as the pure jiva can be inferred from the presence of the conditioned state, similarly the super soul can be inferred from the presence of the pure jiva.
Okay. Everyone is right. Okay. You just have to restate or rephrase, you know. Just as by seeing the reflection on the wall, you can infer the presence of water. Similarly, by seeing the activities of senses, mind and body, you can infer the presence of a living entity. One sentence. As he said, two sentences you need. Okay. Or put a comma and say and. Okay. Just as you can infer the presence of sun by seeing the reflection on the water, you can infer the presence of Paramatma by seeing the activities of a purified living entity. By seeing the activities of a living entity who has been purified by practice of bhakti. Like that. Okay. So that is by inference. So now, if someone says, no, this inference is, you can infer, but I want pratyaksha. I want to directly see the living entity without its coverings of, you know, mind, intelligence, false ego, this subtle body, gross body. Without all these coverings, I want to see the super soul. I want to see the soul. Show me. Okay, soul and super soul I want to see. So Kapil Dev says, yes, I will show you. How? Bhuta sukshmendri yamano bodhyadishviha nidraya lineshvasati yastatra vinidro nirahankriyah manyamanastadatmanam anashto nashtavan mrisha nashte hankarane drashta nashta vitta iva atura evam pratyavamarshyasho atmanam pratipadyate sahankarasya dravyasya yovastanam anugrahah. Okay. Yaha vinidraha. One, so he says, for that you have to remain alert. Okay. Nirahankriyaha. When you are without ego. When? Under three circumstances, the living entity is without ego. What are the three circumstances? Shushupti, when he is in deep sleep, sometimes he has a glimpse of his pure state. That is one. Second, when he is liberated, isn't it? Third, during the time of dissolution, when he gets into the body of Karnataka Sai Vishnu, he has no covering of false ego. So, yaha vinidraha. So, this description, he says, so the two of those states are without qualification. While during dissolution and during deep sleep, the living entity is not qualified for liberation, but nevertheless, he is forcefully stripped of the false ego. False ego means false ego and its products, mind, intelligence and everything. Okay. Under such a state that is being described here, you want pratyaksha, he says, wait till deep sleep or wait till the final dissolution. I'll show you. But the jiva who remains alert, vinidraha, nirahankriya, without ahankar, tatra lineshu, when merging the bhuta sukshma indriya mano buddhi adishu, when merging the sense objects, senses, mind and intelligence, asati in prakriti, either during the sleeping state or during the final dissolution. But anashtaha, by doing that, the living entity does not die. But nashte ahankarane atmanam nashtavat mrisha manyamanaha. The ahankar has been destroyed, but all the while he has been identifying with the products of ahankar. I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, etc. So nashte ahankarane, when ahankar and its products got destroyed, atmanam nashtavat, he thinks, I am dead. Mrisha manyamana, falsely thinking like that. Nashta vitta iva atura, just like a person has lost all his wealth. A person who has taken great effort to accumulate all the wealth, one day if he loses all that, how much he will be in great distress. So the similar way the living entity feels greatly distressed. He thinks, evam pratyavamarshya, but on carefully rethinking, he realizes, I am not dead, but this ahankar is dead. And all the while I have been identifying with these products of ahankar, and therefore I am thinking I am dead, which means he just got self-realization. But then how does he feel? Nashta vitta iva aturam, I have lost all my wealth. I have all these desires to enjoy, but I cannot enjoy. I don't have any facility. Yes, of course, I know I am not this body, but at least I want this body for enjoying. Okay? So he says, wait till then. So, asau atmanam pratipadyate, he attains understanding of the existence of the atma. Yaha ahankarasya dravyasya avastanam, who is the shelter of the ahankar and the body. Anugraha, and this atma is the object of Lord's favor. He understands all that, but then he is not very happy because he has reached this stage of liberation without having the qualification. He has no qualification. We may say, will we ever fall down? Are you sure we will not fall down from the spiritual world? Is our place permanent? Is it guaranteed? But sometimes Prabhupada says we fell down from the spiritual world. How is it possible? Krishna says that yadgatvana nivartante. So do we really fall down from spiritual world? So once I go there, my position is safe or not? All those questions, come. From this we can understand, actually, if without qualification we go there, even though they may retain us there, but we may not want to stay there, like this living entity, whose false ego was removed. Okay, and he reached as the stage of self-realization, the same state which gives Brahmananda to a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, gives great distress to this living entity. Okay, same state. So therefore, while people living in Vaikuntha, they are thinking, Salokya Sarshti Samipya Sarupya Ekatvam Apyuta Diyamanam Na Grinanti Vina Matsevanam Jana. Don't give me all this Vaikuntha. Is there any service? Then I will stay there. Otherwise, na kutaschana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu apituliyartha darshina. Send me to hell if service is there. That's what a Vaikuntha Vasi is thinking. And we are thinking, my you know, my seat there is confirmed or not, it will later not be cancelled, na? We get all these kind of questions, you know, we feel insecure, okay? So which means we are not yet qualified to go there, because that's not the nature of a Vaikunthavasi. He is thinking, where is service? We are thinking, is our seat confirmed or not? So therefore, when Prabhupada says that, did we fall down from Vaikuntha? He says, that's an irrelevant question. He says, that's not so important. Think about how you can go there. Okay. So, how it's irrelevant? Because the person who is staying there, he is not thinking about his permanent stay there. He is thinking about where is seva. So, for him it is irrelevant. And the fact that we are getting such questions, it means we don't have the qualification yet. So, it's like if someone says, Ray, when I go to the British Parliament, what breakfast will they serve me? See, I am a South Indian. You know, I need dosa and idli for breakfast. You know, is it? Are you sure they will serve breakfast? You know, idli and dosa for breakfast. It's an irrelevant question. First thing, who is going to let you inside the British Parliament? Are you qualified to go there? So it's an irrelevant question. First, you should think about how I can qualify myself to enter into the British Parliament. Then you can think about whether, but once you qualify yourself, you will never get that question, whether will I get dosa and idli for breakfast. Okay. Same way, once one becomes qualified to enter Vaikuntha, he will never get this question, that is my stay permanent here? He is thinking, where is seva? So if we are not thinking where is seva, then the thought that, is my stay permanent there? Will I fall down after that? Such thoughts are irrelevant because we have not made ourselves qualified. And when we make ourselves qualified, we will never get such questions. Okay. Therefore, Prabhupada said, that's not so important. Because when you reach that qualification, you will never get that question. You are not concerned about coming back. Okay. Like that. So here, this is the proof. The living entity, you know, the most sought after situation of liberation for which the yogis and jnanis spend lifetime after lifetime performing intense austerity, the living entity gets like that. Okay, take it. All ahankar and everything removed. You are a pure soul. You have the realization. Now what you are going to do? This is, my goodness. Please give me back all those ahankar, you know, products of ahankar. I know I am the soul, but I am not very happy about it. I have all these desires. What will I do? Where is my... It's like a ghost situation only. The ghost has subtle body, but no gross body to enjoy. Whereas this living entity there has neither subtle body nor gross body, but all the desires to enjoy. So he is all the more miserable. So he's craving for, when will that time be mine, when I'll get back this subtle body and gross body so that I can enjoy. So, but anyway, here Kapila Dev is explaining that how one can understand the presence of the soul through pratyaksha. Under what circumstance can one have a pratyaksha of the soul without any covering of ahankar and everything? Because if it is covered, then you see only the covering, you don't see the soul, isn't it? He says, okay, under such condition. But it's not a very pleasurable thing. It's not a very pleasurable experience like that. It's not pure state. I know where you're coming. Where is the desire for enjoyment? How does he have the desire for enjoyment? Okay. We already discussed about it, not here, maybe somewhere else. See, mind is not the only, when we stay in this material world, mind is just one of the accompaniments, or the, it's just like the external pen drive that is given, where you have one, you know, all your data is there, in the external pen drive. But that is not the only place where all the impressions of enjoyment is stored. The soul in itself has, if human being can create, you know, different types of storage equipments where you can store, you can have one backup in your pen drive, another backup in your external hard drive, another backup in your computer itself, then definitely the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how inside the body of Karna Dakasai Vishnu during dissolution, how all those past impressions will be stored if the subtle body has been stripped? Definitely there must be some way of storage other than just the mind. Okay, because it happens, bhutva bhutva praliyate. At every dissolution, those living entities who have not qualified themselves to go back home, back to Godhead, they have to go inside the body of Karna Dakasai Vishnu. And at the time of reappearance, it has to come out. So there must be some way that the Supreme Lord has devised. Okay, while he is in the material world, mind acts as that storage device. But while he is inside the body of Karna Dakasai Vishnu, there must be some other way in which these desires are still there. It is stored somewhere. Okay, like that. Karma and Swabhava. Yeah, it must be somewhere, it must be stored. And somehow the Jiva must have access to it. Otherwise this description has no meaning. Okay. Like that. So it's not cryptic. Yeah, especially in cases where very technical sections are described, it's sometimes, you know, different. Because, and unfortunately, since I come to teach only those technical sections, therefore there is lot of, sometimes discrepancy between the way Vishnachakya Thakur translates and Prabhupada translates. See, once Prabhupada's translate Sanskrit editor Pradyumna Prabhu, so he explained how Prabhupada used to do his translation. So he would have all his 12 commentaries, okay, and most of the times he would take translation from either mostly Jiva Goswami's commentary, but sometimes from different commentaries, his translation, and word to word meaning would be from Samadhar Acharya. Therefore many times when you see, you try to do this, what, you know, try to match the word to word of Prabhupada with Prabhupada's translation. Many times it would be difficult. And sometimes the purport is from different Acharya and his own purports. Therefore, like as he mentioned, Pradyumna Prabhu, maximum mileage in one commentary. But in trying to do that, like sometimes when you have to, sometimes the coherency is like not very apparent in trying to do that. Okay, so therefore it's not exactly cryptic, but just that's the way one of the acharyas have translated. Okay, but in trying to do that, sometimes the the coherency is sort of not very apparent. And because the word to word, this especially you will see in very technical sections. In very regular storylines, it's very easy. Translation, word to word matches, and there is not much difference between the way different acharyas translate also. But in highly technical sections, if you see, there will be a lot of difference between the word to word meaning and translation. It will be very difficult to correlate the two. Okay. Because, and Prabhupada mostly, you know, his main emphasis, like different acharyas have their own speciality, apurvata, something that they bring in, and that's a trademark Vishnachakya Thakur commentary, like a trademark Jiva Goswami's commentary, they bring their trademarks. So Prabhupada's trademark is his purports, how it's, practically applicable to today's day and age. So sometimes therefore some very, very technical sections, he doesn't give that much emphasis to you know, literally translating, and so that coherency may not be very much apparent till you read the purport, then makes sense. Okay, like that. So here, okay, so let's continue. So at this point of time, after Kapiladev has described about how he can achieve liberation by this practice, Devahuti has a doubt. She has her own doubts. She says, Purusham prakritir brahman navimunchati karhichit anyonyapashrayatvacha nityatvadana yoh prabho. He says, O Brahman, O Brahmana, O Prabho, Master, prakritir purusham na vimunchati. Okay, here also Prabhupada and Vishnajagat Thakur have slightly different translation. Prabhupada takes purusha to be the jivatma, and Vishnajagat Thakur takes prakriti, purusha, to be the Supreme Lord. But then ultimately, if you see, taking 17, 18 and 19 together, both are trying to make the same point. That how this prakrit, for the jivatma to gain liberation from prakriti, is very difficult. Okay, so Vishnajagat Thakur is taking a slightly different route to make the same conclusion. Prabhupada is taking a slightly different route to make the same conclusion. We'll see. So here it is mentioned, prakritir purusham na vimunchati. Prakriti never gives up the Lord. Karhichit, at any point of time. Why? Nityatvad apashrayatvad anyonya anayoho. Because between them there is mutual attraction. Okay. Prakriti is Lord's energy. So therefore the energetic is attracted to his energy. And she is also taking shelter of the Lord. Apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatad apashrayam. Okay, that's Vyasadeva's vision. Anyonya apashraya. Both are attracted to each other. So therefore, the bond is very strong. As Rishabhadev says, Pumsastriya matuni bhavametam tayor mito hridaya granti mahuhu. Mito hridaya granti means dual knot. Okay? The attachment of the woman to the man is one knot. The attachment of the man to the woman is second knot. So even if the man wants to cut his part of the knot, the attachment is not gone, because if the woman is not willing to cut her part of the knot, detachment cannot happen. So mito hridaya granti, therefore it's called dual knot. Okay? So similarly, so therefore Mother Devahuti is addressing Kapiladev. You see, there is anyonya apashraya. The Lord does not want to give up Prakriti, and Prakriti does not want to give up the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, because this anyonya apashraya is very strong, you never see the Supreme Lord separate from his Prakriti. Okay? Then he says, Yata gandascha bhumescha nabhavo vyatire kataha apamrasasya cha yata tata buddhe parasya cha. So he says that yata gandasya bhumescha na bhavo vyatirekatah. You can never see fragrance separate from earth. They are always connected. Apam rasasya cha, because fragrance is a tanmatra of earth, which means it's an energy of earth. Similarly, taste is the energy of water. So therefore, you never see them separate. Similarly, Prakriti is the energy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you never see Prakriti separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyonya apashraya. So, he says, similarly, akartur karma bandoyam purushasya yadashrayah guneshu satsu prakritehe kaivalyam teshvatakkatam. Similarly, this jiva, though he is not the doer, I understand, he is not the doer, Prakriti only does. But still, karma bandha, he becomes bound. Why? Prakritehu, prakritehe guneshu purushasya satsu. Because the gunas of prakriti remain with the jiva, because the jiva takes shelter of prakriti. The jiva wants to take her shelter, and she is also more than eager to give shelter to the jiva. So there is this anyonya apashraya between these two also. Okay? So you understand the analogy? You never see the Lord separate from his energy, because both have taken shelter of each other. Similarly, here also the jiva has taken shelter of prakriti, and prakriti is more than willing to give shelter to the jiva. Kaivalyam teshu atak katam. How then can he attain liberation? It must be very, very difficult. This is mito hridaya granti, dual knot. So therefore, explain, how is it possible for liberation to happen? You have told very easily in one verse, 3 points you mentioned. What? Yamadibir yoga patair. Abhyasen shraddayanvita. With full faith perform the yoga process. Matkata sharvanena cha. Hear my pastimes. And then mayi bhavena satyena. Accept my. That's all. If I do this, I will get liberation. So easy. He says, no, I don't think it's so easy. Devahuti, Mother Devahuti says, you have given such a simple path. Aise karne se, you think the living entity will achieve liberation. Huh? This is mito hridaya granti. Living entity has taken shelter of prakriti. Prakriti is willing to give shelter. So in such a case, like if, you know, if you want to go and ask someone's help, but if the other person is not so willing to help, then you may get the help done or you may not get the help. There is a good chance. But if one person is, he wants help, but the other person is more eager to help, then definitely, you know, there will be some mutual, you know, give and take. That will be there. You cannot, because both are eager. Similarly, here the jiva is very eager. Even if the jiva loses his eagerness, prakriti is more eager to keep him under her shelter. So under such case, how is it possible for this liberation? The process that you have given is okay. You know, I have practiced this process, I know. But it's not so easy. Yeah. Yeah. So that prakriti is attached to the jiva, because so that he doesn't become like this soul who entered into Karanodaka Sai Vishnu's body and he was feeling so distressed. Because without qualification, if he enters into the spiritual world, then what will happen? He will be all the more frustrated. So therefore, you want to enjoy, keep enjoying till you completely lose that. And when he loses, she says, okay, you go now. So that's her duty. So that he does not compound his suffering. So people say, why is the Supreme Lord so sadist? Huh? He makes us suffer in this material world by covering up with this maya potency. He says, no. If he doesn't cover, you will suffer more. Huh? Because of these desires. So he covers so that, you know, the suffering is mitigated, and also he gives you, sends the spiritual master, gives the scriptures so that you can transcend those desires, so that when the suffering is removed, so it's like, so this material covering is like anesthesia. Okay, even, but it's like a, there is no complete anesthesia, it's like a partial anesthesia. Okay. It's not that during anesthesia the person is in total bliss. It's not like that. It's just some temporary thing. So that the operation can take place. Okay. Once operated, then even when the anesthesia is removed, there is no pain. You know, you are ready to go. But without getting cured, if the anesthesia is removed, what will happen?
Switch it off.
Okay. So that's what he's explaining here. Okay, therefore she says, this liberation must be very rare. Okay. And then she says, so see, I am not telling theoretically. This is my experience. And then she says, Kvachit tattvava marshena nivrittam bayam ulbanam anivritta nivrit nimittatvat punah pratyavatishtate. So she says, you know what? I will tell you some practical issues that I had while practicing this. She says, Kvachit tattva avamarshena ulbanam bayam nivritam. It is true. You taught me this Sankhya, and by meditating on this Sankhya philosophy, sometimes the fear goes away. It is true. Okay, sometimes this fear goes away. But punaha pratyavatishtate, but again it returns. All of a sudden when you think, yeah, this is true, you know, now I have understood this Sankhya and now I am fearless, and suddenly it comes back again. Why? Anivritta nimittatvat. Because the samsara's root cause is not destroyed. Okay, so therefore I think the process that you have given is not foolproof process. I have personally applied it in my life. That's why I am telling. She says, Anivritta nimittatvat punaha pratyavatishtate. It again reappears. Okay. We meditate on all the teachings that we have given, and then it gives us great strength, and suddenly some temptation comes and we fall. Because the root cause is not destroyed. So therefore I think there is something wrong with the process that you have given. Because that's my personal experience. That's a big challenge for Kapila Dev, no? She says, this is not my theoretical understanding. She says, this is my practical experience. The process that you have given, I have already practiced. Okay? So therefore, anivritta nimittatvat, because the fear of samsara returns, because I don't think this process is capable of destroying the cause of samsara. That's a challenge put forth by Devahuti. So now Kapila Dev is going to answer. Okay. So let's see what Kapila Dev is going to answer.
What happened? Why?
Okay. Bad job. Okay. So now Kapila Dev is going to answer this question. Okay. Okay. So now in three verses, he is going to clarify what he already spoke in sixth verse. Okay. So while we are seeing this, please, in your textbook, you go to the sixth verse. Okay. We have to go back and forth. So in your textbook, go to the sixth verse. Keep that page open. Okay. So now, because 21, 22, 23, is clarification of verse number 6. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Animitta Nimittena Swadharmena Malatmana Tivrayamayi Bhaktyacha Shruta Sambritaya Chiram Jnanena Drishta Tattvena Vairagyena Baliyasa Tapoyuktena Yogena Tivrena Atma Samadina ప్రకృతి పురుషస్యేహ దహ్యమానాత్వహర్నిషం తిరో భవిత్రీ శనకైర్ అగ్నేర్ యోనిర్ ఇవారణిహి. సో హి సేస్ తీవ్రయా మయి భక్త్యా చ. సో ఇన్ ది సిక్స్త్ వర్స్ హి సెడ్ మయి భావేన సత్యేన. ఓకే, విల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు దిస్. ఓకే, షీ సేస్ ఓకే నౌ లెట్ మీ క్లారిఫై దిస్ ప్రాసెస్. హీ సేస్ తీవ్రయా మయి భక్త్యా చ బై ఎనర్జెటిక్ భక్తి టు మీ శ్రుత సంభృతయా చిరం విచ్ ఇస్ నరిష్డ్ బై హియరింగ్ ఫర్ అ లాంగ్ టైమ్ అనిమిత్త నిమిత్తేన వితౌట్ డిజైర్ ఫర్ రిజల్ట్స్ అమలాత్మన అండ్ సచ్ అ ప్రాక్టీస్ ప్యూరిఫైస్ ద హార్ట్ స్వధర్మేణ అండ్ సచ్ అ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి మస్ట్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు వన్స్ ఆక్యుపేషనల్ డ్యూటీస్. ఓకే, జ్ఞానేన దృష్టతత్వేన బై నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎలిమెంట్స్ వైరాగ్యేన బలీయస బై స్ట్రాంగ్ రినన్సియేషన్ తపోయుక్తేన యోగేన బై యోగా అకంపనీడ్ బై ఆస్టెరిటీస్ తీవ్రేణ ఆత్మ సమాధిన బై ఇంటెన్స్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్. వెన్ దిస్ ఇస్ ప్రాక్టీస్డ్ పురుషస్య ఇహ ప్రకృతి ద సటిల్ బాడీ ఆఫ్ ద జీవ దహ్యమానాత్వహర్నిషం మీన్స్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ డే అండ్ నైట్ ద సటిల్ బాడీ బర్న్స్ క్షణకై తిరో భవిత్రి అండ్ గ్రాజువలీ ఇట్ డిసపియర్స్ అగ్నేర్ యోనిర్ ఇవ అరణిహి జస్ట్ లైక్ ద అరణి స్టిక్ the fire appears on the arani stick and later the arani stick itself becomes consumed. Similarly, these practices of karma, jnana, ashtanga and bhakti yoga, they are performed using senses, rishikena rishikesha sevanam, but eventually the senses themselves get, the subtle body gets destroyed. Agner yonir iva arani. So in this three verses he is explaining, yes, if you practice this, for sure the subtle body will burn continuously and gradually disappear. So he is explaining, so what he told in the sixth verse and how is it different from what he is telling now, we will see. Initial instruction, he said, you have your sixth verse with you, he said yamadibir yogapater అభ్యసన్, పర్ఫార్మ్ దిస్ యోగా ప్రాసెస్ స్టార్టింగ్ విత్ యమ నియమ ఆసన ప్రాణాయామ ఎక్సెట్రా. సో నౌ హీస్ క్వాలిఫైయింగ్ హౌ షుడ్ దట్ ప్రాక్టీస్ బి. హీ సేస్ తపోయుక్తేన యోగేన దట్ యోగా మస్ట్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ విత్ తపస్య తీవ్రేణ ఆత్మ సమాధిన అండ్ ఇంటెన్స్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్. సో యూ మే సే అరే ఆజ్ మే అనులోమ్ విలోమ్ కియా అండ్ దెన్ ఐ డిడ్ సమ్ యునో వాట్ ఎవర్ ఆసన దిస్ ఆసన దట్ ఆసన బట్ స్టిల్ యునో ఐఎమ్ నాట్ లిబరేటెడ్ ఎట్. హీ సేస్ నో 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 నాట్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ యోగా. హీ సేస్ తపోయుక్తేన యోగేన ద యోగా మస్ట్ బి ఎండోర్డ్ విత్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఆస్టెరిటీస్ అండ్ తీవ్రేణ ఆత్మ సమాధిన ఇంటెన్స్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్ that kind of yoga I was talking about. Then he said matkata shravanena cha, hear my pastimes. Here he qualifies, what kind of hearing? Shruta sambrutaya chiram, your ears should be filled with my katha continuously for a long time. This hearing should be for a long time, he says. Then in sixth verse he said mai bhavena satyena, accept my form to be real, which indicates bhakti. That is the starting of bhakti, accepting the personal form of the Lord. So he says, not just that, animitta nimittena, your practice should not have any material desires. And swadharmena, you should practice that bhakti according to your prescribed duties, according to your varnashram state. Tivraya, and the practice of bhakti must be intense. Tivrayamayi bhaktya. Then it works. Then he mentioned Munihi. Okay. Somewhere little later he said Munihi. Contemplate. Huh? But contemplate, it could mean contemplate on, as Prabhupada writes, contemplate on the service to the Supreme Lord. But here it could also mean, Munihi means contemplate on the teachings of Sankhya and the difference between body and soul. He says, not just contemplate. Jnanena drishta tattvena. Not just know it, but realize it. But that realization should be accompanied by baliyasa vairagyena, by powerful detachment. So he is qualifying each of these. Okay. Yoga means what kind of yoga? Tapo yuktena yogena, tivrena atma samadhina, matkata shravanina, hearing may pass in. But what kind? Shruta sambrataya chiram, for a long time. Mai bhavena satyena, accept my form to be real. Is that all? No. What does that imply? It means you worship the Lord without any material desires, according to your swadharma, and perform that devotional service with intensity. And Munihi, contemplate on the teachings of Sankhya. But what kind of contemplation? That contemplation which will lead to realization and which would lead to intense detachment. If you practice this way, then he says, Purushasya iha prakriti hi prakriti dahyamana aharnisham shanakair tirobavitri. Then the subtle body of the jiva burns continuously and gradually disappears. For sure. This is how he is clarifying what he already spoke in the previous section. Sixth verse mein jo bola, usko idhar he is elaborating and clarifying. If this way it is practiced, then liberation is guaranteed. Is it clear? Okay. So now, in the next three verses, one may say, okay, because one of the doubts she had is what? She said, Kvachit tattvava marshena nivrittam bayam ulbanam anivritta nimittatvat punaha pratyavatishtate. Yes, sometimes the fear goes, but after sometimes it comes again. It returns back. So which means it seems like that state of liberation is not a permanent state. Beech beech mein aake jata hai. So he has to answer to that. So he responds to that in the next section by mentioning how Prakriti would never ever touch that person again. Okay. So that is the penultimate section of this chapter. Okay. So we'll take a small break and then we'll get back. Okay, and then we'll complete, go till the end of the chapter. Share your ecstasy. Okay, so we'll continue. So now, he is going to explain, Kapiladeva is going to explain, he is going to address this last fear of Devahuti. Yeah, sometimes I see, yeah, by meditating on this Sankhya, the impermanence of body and the difference between body and soul, it's true that the fear of material existence goes for some time, but it comes back again. So I don't think, you know, that liberation that you are talking about permanent, oh, isa hota hai kya? Matlab, is it real? You know, it seems very difficult to me. So he explained, okay, what you should practice. And then now he is addressing why it will not return back. Why Prakriti will never approach that person again. He says, Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta दृष्टदोषाच नित्यशः नेश्वरस्याशुभं दत्ते स्वेमहिम्नि स्थितस्य च. सेस् दृष्टदोषा, he sees the fault in prakriti. Bhukta bhoga, having enjoyed the prakriti, he realizes there is some fault. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yone evate. After continuously enjoying it, he realizes there is something wrong. I cannot get. So therefore, parityakta, he gives it up. Nityeshaha na ashubham datte. Prakriti can nityeshaha, at no point of time, ashubham datte, can cause any harm to this jiva by again attacking him. Not just because he has seen the fault in prakriti, but also Ishwarasya, he is capable of discriminating. He sees, this Ishwara who is capable of discriminating, he discriminates that this cannot give me lasting happiness. Okay, therefore he is seeing the fault also. Okay, but that is not sufficient. Sve mahimni stitasya cha, he is situated on the correct path. So many times, at least 95% of those people who smoke and addicted to it, they know it is bad for their health. What do you say, Sri Dhani Mahaprabhu? Bhukta bhoga, and sometimes they do parityakta also. Why? Drishta dosha. And Ishwarasya, they have seen the news, they have read on the pack, cigarette pack, that photo of oral cancer and everything is there, they have seen. Okay? Bhukta bhoga, drishta dosha also is there. And Ishwarasya also, they can discriminate. But still, nityashaha ashubham, there is always, nityashaha ashubham datte, they can never give up that smoking. Prakriti never leaves them. Why? There is no svemahimni stitasya cha, because they don't situate themselves on the correct path. Okay. Otherwise, bhukta boha, parityakta, drishta dosha cha nityashaha, all that is there. Okay. But svemahimni stitasya cha is not there. So therefore, Kapiladeva is telling, if the practitioner applies himself to the process as I have explained in the previous three verses, sve mahimni stitasya cha, if he applies himself to the process perfectly, then na nityashaha na ashubham dati, prakriti will never harm him. Okay, but he has to apply himself to the process. That's what Kapiladeva is telling. So he sees with discrimination the faults of prakriti and he is situated in the right path. Sve mahimni stitasya cha. Okay. Yes. See, he smokes and he coughs and he says, such a disgusting cigarette. I will not smoke the next cigarette, he says. Because drishta dosha he sees. But then he picks up another cigarette and smokes. Why? Because prakriti has, prakriti ashubham datte. It's harming the jiva. Why? Because he is not applying himself to the correct path to give up that cigarette. He knows this is wrong. Let me not smoke the next cigarette. He knows. He desires, but he cannot give up. Because he is not applying himself to the right path. So here Prabhupada writes in the purport. When one is actually situated in devotional service, that is his independent position. What is Prabhupada talking about? Sve mahimni stitasya cha. Less intelligent men cannot understand the position of the eternal servant of the Lord. Because the word servant is used, they become confused. They cannot understand that this servitude is not the servitude of this material world. What is Prabhupada trying to explain here? Why they are not unwilling to apply themselves to the process? What Prabhupada writes here, because when they hear servant, he says, become the servant and you will be freed from this clutches of Prakriti. He says, servant? No, no, no. They don't want to be servant. So Prabhupada is explaining what is an obstacle for people to apply themselves. Why they don't want to be in Svemahim Nistatasyacha? Because when they hear servant, they say no. Because they have a bad experience with being a material servant. Okay. To be the servant of the Lord is the greatest position. If one can understand this and can thus revive one's original nature of eternal servitorship to the Lord, one stands fully independent. What is Prabhupada talking about? Where is independence indicated? Nityashaha na ashubham datte. He is never controlled by Prakriti again, which means he is independent of Prakriti. A living entity's independence is lost by material contact. In the spiritual field, he has full independence, and therefore there is no question of becoming dependent upon the three modes of material nature. This position is attained by a devotee, and therefore he gives up the tendency for material enjoyment after seeing its faultiness. What is Prabhupada talking about? Bhukta boga parityakta drishta dosha. Then Prabhupada writes, the difference between a devotee and an impersonalist is that an impersonalist tries to become one with the Supreme so that he can enjoy without impediment, whereas a devotee gives up the entire mentality of enjoying and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is his constitutional glorious glorified position. Okay, what is Prabhupada talking about? How an impersonalist application to the impersonal path is not the proper path. Devotional service is only the true path, which when applied can completely eradicate the dependent position like that. So then in the same mode he continues, yatahya pratibuddhasya prasvapo bahvanartabrit sa eva pratibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpate. He says, yata means, what is the meaning of yata? Just as. Yata means you are comparing with something, analogy. Praswapaha, the dream, apratibuddhasya means a sleeping person. The dream of a sleeping person, yatahi bahu anarthabrit, just as it causes many, many anxieties to him while he is sleeping. Sa eva, but those very same dreams, navai mohaya kalpate, can never cause any illusion to pratibuddhasya, the person who is awake. So, he is giving various rationales to explain to Devahuti why such a fear will not return back. Okay, he is explaining first thing. He says, Svemahimni sthitasya, he has applied himself to the right path after seeing with discrimination the futility of engaging in material enjoyment. That is the first reason he gives. And then he says, he has completely awakened. This stage is completely awakened stage, he says. Yatahi apratibuddhasya prasvapohi bahu anarthabrit. Just like a person who is asleep and dreaming, for him the dream causes lot of torture. But for a person who has awakened, the same dream does not affect him at all. Similarly, for this person who has perfectly applied himself to this path and achieved liberation, those sufferings do not come and haunt him back again. So this is an assurance given by Kapiladev to Devahuti. Addressing her, fear. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in contaminated consciousness, one sees everything to be for his own enjoyment. But in pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he sees that everything exists for the enjoyment of the Supreme Enjoyer. That is the difference between the dream state and wakefulness. So what is dream state? As per what Prabhupada writes here. Everything is for my enjoyment. Okay. And what is, so therefore he knows everything is for my enjoyment, but then now he also knows if I use everything for my enjoyment, I will be in trouble. So therefore he is always fearful. But what he does not know is if he understands that everything is for Krishna's enjoyment and if he is willing to use it in Krishna's service, then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, as who says? Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, for a devotee, the material world, wonderful place, nice place. Why? Unlimited opportunities to engage everything in the service of the Lord. But for a jnani, Vishvam Narakayate. But devotee says, Kaivalyam Narakayate. Says, what you want, that is hell for me. What I want, for me, what is Purna Sukha, for you, that is hell. You want to get rid of it. Therefore, jnani and devotee are like exactly opposite people. There is some similarity between karmi and devotee. They are little bit compatible. Jnani and devotee are totally incompatible entities. Okay, what he wants to give up. As Prithu Maharaj says, vidatsva karna yutameshame vara. Nakamaye nata tadapyaham kochin nayatra yushmad charanam bujasava. Vidatsva karna yutameshame vara. He says, you see, whatever the jnani rejects, you give it to me. And I will reject whatever the jnani wants. He says, the jnani wants to reject all the senses because he thinks that it will bind him here. But he says, get all the jnanis and whatever senses they are rejecting, give it to me. He says, vidatsva karna yutam, give me millions of years so that wherever Krishna Katha is happening, I can go and hear. Whatever the jnanis, the senses they are rejecting, collect all that and give it to me. And if by practice of this devotion, if I get impersonal liberation, take it and give it to all those jnanis. I don't want. Na kamaye nata tadapyaham kvachit. Tad bolte. He does not even say impersonal liberation. He says, that I don't want. Never give it to me. Na kamaye, I don't desire it. Instead, give me all the senses. I can utilize them in Krishna's service. So, totally incompatible. What they want to reject, the devotee wants. And what the devotee wants to reject is their most cherished desire. Impersonal liberation, like that. So here he says, so don't worry that, that fear will reoccur because this person has completely awakened to the truth. He is a totally awake person. So the dream cannot affect a person who is awake. Dream can affect only a person who is sleeping and still dreaming, like that. So then he says, evam vidita tattvasya prakritir mayi manasam yunjato napa kuruta atma ramasya karhichit. Prakriti hi na karhichit apakuruta. Prakriti can never harm that person. Mayi manasam yunjataha. On top of that, because this person has fixed his mind on me. Vidita tattvasya, and he knows about the elements. And Atma Ramasya, he enjoys in the self. So therefore, Prakriti can never touch him. So 24, 25, 26. Can someone recap what we have seen? Svemahimni stita secha one. What else? Bhukta boga parityakta. After enjoying, he has rejected. Why? Drishta dosha. He has seen the fault of prakriti. And why? How could he see? Ishwarasya. He was capable of discrimination. And Svemahimni stita secha. He applies. Then, next verse, what did he say? Such a person is in a completely awake state. So, fear will not return. And then, here, what does he say? Mind is fixed on me. He knows the tattva, Sankhya perfectly. And he is Atmarama. For these reasons, be assured, my dear mother, that this fear of material existence will never return and haunt this person. You can be rest assured like that. Okay? So that brings us to the end of the sixth section. Okay? So now, before we go to the last section, we have like 4 more verses. But before we go to the last section, try to recall the first 6 sections that we have seen. Just the topics. 1. Kapiladev describes the need for liberation. Why should a living entity at all aspire for liberation? That is the first section. 2. What is the process and what is the lifestyle that is favorable to achieve that liberation? That is 2. 3. That section ended with the 18th quality, which is he has to realize the Paramatma, and it explained who is that Paramatma. So the third section talks about how to understand the presence of soul and super soul through Anuman. That is third section. Fourth section was Pratyaksha. So were they clubbed in one section or were it two sections? Let's see. Yeah. So these are clubbed together. Okay. Third section is understanding of soul and super soul by Anuman and Pratyaksha. Fourth, Devahuti's questions about rarity of liberation. Fifth, Kapiladev further explains the process clearly. He expands on it. He says, that was a zip file. Now I will give you the unzipped version. Okay, this is what it means. Then, sixth, why Prakriti will not affect him? He explains in 3 verses. So now, the last section, he is going to explain how by such a practice he is going to attain liberation. That is the last section, 7th section of this chapter. So 27 to 29 are connected verses. Okay, we have 15 minutes more, so I'll complete on time today, hopefully. Let's see. Yadaivam adhyatmaratah kalena bahujanmana sarvatra jata vairagya abrahma bhuvanan munihi madbhakta pratibuddharto matprasadena bhoyasa nishreyasam swasamstanam kaivalyakyam madashrayam prapnoti hanjasadhira swadrisha chinna samshaya yadgatvana nivarteta yogi lingadvinirgami. Okay. Yada means when. Tada means at that time. Yada tada. Yada munihi, when a sage, which sage? One who practices this. One who practices what has been described. Yada munihi kalena bahujanmana, for many many lifetimes. Adhyatmarataha engages in this meditation of Atma. sarvatra jata vairagya, with complete detachment from everything, abrahma bhuvanan, from everything of this material world, including brahmaloka, from patala to brahmaloka, he should not have sarvatra jata vairagya, he should have complete detachment from everything. Okay, mad bhaktaha, and becomes my devotee. See, all these things have been described previously. He is recapping. Kapiladev is recapping that sixth and those three verses. He is just doing a recap. Okay. So when such a sage engages in this process for many, many lifetimes, okay, pratibuddha artho, understanding the ultimate truth, then mat bhuyasa prasadena, by my bountiful mercy. What is bountiful? Abundant. By my abundant mercy, anjasa prapnoti, he easily attains. What does he attain? Nishreyasam, the highest benefit. What is highest benefit? Swasamsthanam, his swarupa, called kaivalyakyam, called Brahman. Which means, his, for him the highest benefit is Brahman. So according to him, whatever is the highest benefit, he will attain that. Mad ashrayam, that kaivalyakyam is mad ashrayam. Where does Krishna say this? Brahmanohi pratishta aham. Okay. I am the Brahman is. I am the shelter of Brahman. I am the basis of Brahman, he says. Brahmanohi pratishta aham. Okay. So, yada munihi. Okay, now, before going to the rest of the verse, okay, don't look at the screen. I will read and you tell me the meaning. Yada munihi. When the sage, when this practitioner, kalena bahujanmana, after many, many lifetimes, adhyatma rataha, by thus meditating on this Atma, sarvatra jata vairagya, being completely detached from everything, abrahma bhuvanan, from everything from patala to brahmaloka, mad bhaktaha, and becomes my devotee, pratibuddha artho, knowing about all these tattvas, sankhya, mad bhuyasa prasadena, by my bountiful mercy, anjasa prapnoti, easily attains, nishreyasam, the highest benefit, swasamsthanam, kaivalyakyam, kaivalyakyam, called Brahman, okay, madashrayam, which is under my shelter. So such a person, after practicing this for many, many lifetimes, easily attains Brahman. Okay, yadgatva, having gone there, swadrisha chinna samshaya, that person who has cut all his doubts by this knowledge of Atma, swadrisha, swadrisha, knowledge of Atma, chinna samshaya, having cut through the all the doubts by knowledge of Atma, lingad vinirgami, and also having destroyed his subtle body, dhiraha yogi, the steady yogi, na nivarteta, never returns back. Yadgatva na nivarteta, yogi lingad vinirgami. This yogi, lingad vinirgami, having given up his subtle body, na nivarteta, never comes back. Okay? So second part I will read, you tell without looking at the screen. Yadgatva, having gone where? Brahman. Swadrisha chinna samshaya, cut the doubts by the knowledge of Atma. Lingad vinirgame, after destroying the subtle body. Dhiraha yogi, the steady yogi. Na nivarteta, never comes back. Okay. So this is what he is telling. Okay. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, anyone engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as a devotee. But there is a distinction between pure devotee and mixed devotees. What is Prabhupada talking about? Why is Prabhupada talking like this? Huh? Because here this is describing about a mixed devotee. A mixed devotee engages in devotional service for the spiritual benefit of being eternally engaged in the transcendental abode of the Lord in full bliss and knowledge. What is Prabhupada talking about? Nishreyasam. Okay. In material existence, when a devotee is not completely purified, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from miseries, or he wants material gain, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, or knowledge as to the real nature of the Supreme Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? Prabhupada is talking about how mixed devotees need not have pure motivations. So therefore he starts from, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from material miseries. That is sort of merging into Brahman. When a person is transcendental to these conditions, he is called a pure devotee. He does not engage himself in the service of the Lord for any material benefit or for understanding the Supreme Lord. His one interest is that he loves the Supreme Lord and he spontaneously engages in satisfying him. Prabhupada is giving the difference. Then, in 28-29 purport, Prabhupada writes, actual self-realization means becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? He says, what is true kaivalyakyam? What is true self-realization? Okay. The existence of a devotee implies the function of devotion and the object of devotion. Okay. Because at the stage of kaivalya, when one merges, the practitioner wants to give up both and make both into one. Neha nanasti kinchana. There is no second. Okay. But ultimate self-realization means the existence of a devotee implies the function of devotion and the object of devotion. Both are there. Self-realization ultimately means to understand the personality of Godhead and the living entities. To know the individual self and the reciprocal exchanges of loving service between the Supreme Lord and the living entity is real self-realization. Devotional service is revealed to the pure devotee by the unlimited costless mercy of the Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? Bhuyasa, mat bhuyasa prasadena. This is especially spoken of here by the Lord. Mat prasadena, by my special grace. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Only those who engage in devotional service with love and faith receive the necessary intelligence from the Supreme Lord, so that gradually and progressively they can advance to the abode of the personality of Godhead. So then Prabhupada writes, Swasamsthana indicates that the impersonalists have no particular place to stay. The impersonalists sacrifice their individuality so that the living spark can merge into the impersonal effulgence emanating from the transcendental body of the Lord. But the devotee has a specific abode. Okay, Swasamsthana. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. What is Prabhupada talking about? Madashrayam. Okay. Some devotees are elevated to the Vaikuntha planets and some are elevated to the planet Krishna Loka. According to the desire of the particular devotee, he is offered a particular abode which is known as Swasamsthana, his desired destination. So what is Swasamsthana for the person here? Kaivalyakyam, Brahman. By the grace of the Lord, the self-realized devotee engaged in devotional service understands his destination even while in this material body. That's what Shukadeva Goswami says. Vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse. You remember? That is the first prayer offered by Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto. Vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse. He is the bestower of the desired results of all practitioners. Like that. So again Prabhupada talks about this word swasamsthanam in the last part of this paragraph. The word swasamsthanam is also very significant. As a living entity prepares himself, so he attains his abode. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is offered to the impersonalists. But those who want to associate with the Supreme Lord in his transcendental form as Narayan in the Vaikuntha or with Krishna in Krishna Loka, go to those abodes where from they never return. So Yadgatvana Nivartante is true for both Brahman and Vaikuntha. Okay. So the last verse of this chapter. Yadana Yoga Pachitasu Yadana Yogo Pachitasu Cheto Mayasu Siddhasya Vishajjatenga Ananya Heto Shvatamega Tisyat Atyantiki Yatra Namrityuhasaha. Anga, my dear mother. Yada Siddhasya Chetaha. But he has to be careful about one thing. Yada Siddhasya Chetaha. When the yogi's heart Na Vishajjate is no longer attracted Upachitasu Mayasu to the abundant enjoyments. Yogo Ananya Hetushu, which are available only through practice of yoga and by no other practice. Atame Atyantiki Gatisya. Then he can certainly, he has to ensure that he does not get attached to the material benefits and the siddhis that come as a byproduct of his practice of yoga. Then Atame Atyantiki Gatisya. Then he can attain his final liberation. Yatra Na Mrityu Hasaha. Where death will not have the last laugh. Having the last laugh means what? Final victory. Final victory. Death will not have the last laugh. That's what it literally it means. Yatra na mrityu hasaha. Where death will not be victorious over him. But he has to be careful. Okay. While he is practicing this yoga, he may get many siddhis and material enjoyments by his practice of yoga, but he should be careful not to get attached to them. Then he will be victorious over death. Okay. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, yogis who have incomplete information of the result of devotional service are attracted by these powers. But these powers are material. They have nothing to do with spiritual progress. A perfect yogi's mind is not attracted by any material power, but is simply attracted by unalloyed service to the Supreme Lord. For a devotee, the process of merging into the Brahman effulgence is considered to be hellish. And yogic power, or the preliminary perfection of yogic power, to be able to control his senses, is automatically achieved. Durdantendriya kala sarpa patali prothkhata damstrayate, he says. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 27th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Understanding Material Nature. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So tomorrow we will start the 28th chapter and hopefully let's see if we can finish it well and good. On Monday you don't have class. This Yamuna opening is there. So Monday no class. So tomorrow after that we'll meet on Tuesday. Okay. Let's see.